snap out of it.
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, January 23rd, 2025. This is your award-winning Cable Nation Media Assassination, episode 1732.
This is No Agenda.
Opening the Stargate and broadcasting live from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA region number 6 in the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're asking the question, does anybody actually care about Blake Lively? I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
I don't even think I could tell you who Blake Lively is, to be honest. I should know this. I'm sure I should know who Blake Lively is.
Well, they've been promoting her enough.
Well, tell me, who was Blake Lively?
She's an actress who's suing a director who tried to kiss her.
Yes, that was the news of the week.
That was the news of the week.
That was the news of the week. Welcome, John, to the golden age of No Agenda. 4 more years. Wow. I think the best thing I've seen in these past few days is refreshing the whitehouse.gov presidential actions page. I think when you have an executive...
Go home.
When you have an executive order that says, putting people over fish, I mean, that kind of says it all, doesn't it? Oh, man. I don't... You know, it's so disappointing. Because I got a lot of reports from foreign press. Because here, it just seems like we're obsessed with Bezos' girlfriend's boobs. You know what I mean? It's like, what are we doing?
There seems to be a lot of stories. Yeah, there's so many reprints of the picture of Zuckerberg looking down for one split second.
He will never live that down. I said to Tina, I said, yeah, what if that happened to me and that was the 2 second clip everywhere? She says, well, he's only human. I'm like, sure. Yeah. No, I don't. I think Miss Chan is going to be lording that over Zuck for a long time.
It's just one of those things you don't want to
get caught
doing.
These
guys have got cameras. There's a thing called a camera, and most people are shooting like in video mode, so it's actually not just shooting.
Yeah, no, they've got frame by frame by frame of everything.
Frame by frame, so you can get the one split second where he looks down, and that's the shot.
Yeah. Whoops.
And that's, you know, now he's stuck with that for the rest of his life.
For the rest of his life, yeah.
You have to be careful if you're a celebrity of any sort looking at, and somebody's showing off their breasts.
So that's literally Megyn Kelly, accomplished lawyer, successful podcast host. That's all she could talk about. It was viral, baby.
They're vicious because Jeff Bezos runs the Washington Post, owns it, and owns Amazon, of course. And I will tell you, this is not my first time saying she dresses like a hooker, because she does.
I mean, she just kept on going about that.
Yes, I heard this bit. She has gotten to, she's discovered kind of the Tim Pool approach to podcasting.
Yes. Algo chasing.
Which is ranting for excessive, for that's one thing we don't do in the show. Once in a while, we maybe make a segment that's too long, but we don't stay on.
Okay, it's all right. I got you. The Supreme Court stuff. Yes. Okay.
I didn't say. I was just generalizing. Yes. I've done it. So, but we don't. But the style of ranting, and Kelly's gotten really good at it. In fact, I sent you a clip once, recently, of one of her great rants, and she goes on, and it's well structured, and it goes on forever, and it's just it's basically beating a dead horse.
Hey, Joe was there. I called it. Rogan, he was there.
I don't remember you calling that.
I said, imagine if Joe's there. And you were like, okay, I didn't call it. I guess I conjured it. And he's sending me pictures of him and Trump and him and Trump family members. He was having a good old time.
A picture of him and Laura Sanchez?
No, I wish. Oh, man. So the
dresses like a hooker.
So I've been following these executive.
And by the way, they used to have a lot of hookers in the Bay Area, and they don't really dress like that. Maybe a high end. Well, maybe Megan's thinking of the high end hotel hookers.
Well,
I guess maybe that's a possibility.
You know where all the hookers are right now?
In D.C., aren't they? That's where they usually are.
No, they're in Davos. The hookers are in Davos. Well,
that's probably true.
And the Daily Mail had an exclusive with one of the high class escorts who spills the beans. And here she says, a high class escort has spilled the beans on what happens behind closed doors in Davos during the World Economic Forum. Salome Baltus, probably not her real name.
You think?
She says, she revealed to Mail Online that she's learned about the global elite. And for many, it is that they are doom and gloom mongering about the fate of the world. So they've decided to just enjoy it while it lasts. Convinced that a climate change apocalypse is upon them, they shamelessly spend their vast wealth on expensive escorts in Switzerland.
I wonder what those girls cost.
Let me see if they did not have a price tag.
They should have a price tag. You're doing your reporting.
You're doing a report. Oh, here it is. 5,000 pounds. Yep. 5,000 pounds.
5,000 pounds.
But that's a weekend. That's a bargain.
I don't know about that being much of a bargain, but
a 2-hour tete-a-tete.
You can marry a Ukrainian woman for less than that.
Yeah, but then her brothers show up and start demanding more. It's not. I've heard this happen to guys. It's not a good thing. A 2-hour tete-a-tete starts at about $850. I think this says a lot about our economy. I think these prices are down from previous Davos years.
Well, for those guys, the girls should be able to charge more for that group.
For sure.
Yeah, it's not like a bunch of, soccer guys.
Should we do a little bit of Davos stuff before we get into the domestic?
I don't have any Davos stuff.
I do. I have shorties.
I'm interested because I don't have anything.
Yeah, I got shorties from Davos. And I'll be tracking this as we go along.
I understand they wanted Trump. Trump didn't show up. He didn't want to go.
He did a video thing.
In fact, a lot of the big shots that normally go to Davos didn't go. And it kind of freaked out Klaus. Yeah.
Well, the spell is broken. This is the thing. Every spell has been broken. All the things that these elites would say, that the senators would say in questioning, it's now just become a joke. Some spell has been broken.
And I will tease the end of show mix because it starts with this, some of the during the spell moments during Trump's first administration freakouts that were going on with the mainstream. It's very interesting
to hear that, isn't clips. It? Yes. Yeah. So I think Trump just delivered a speech to Davos. He did it via a Zoom. Maybe it was Microsoft Teams. I don't know.
Teams.
Anyway, long keynote by Queen Ursula. I pulled 54 seconds.
The sobering reality is that we are once again competing more intensely across countries than we have in several decades. And this makes the theme of this year's Davos meeting even more relevant. Rebuilding trust. This is not.
That's there it is. The spell is broken. No one trusts you anymore. It's over. It truly is over. There's something that's happened, some cosmic shift, and people just like, whatever, Queen Ursula, whatever.
Rebuilding trust.
Yes.
This is not a time for conflicts or polarization. This is a time to build trust. This is a time to drive global collaboration more than ever before.
Sure.
This requires immediate and structural responses to match the size of the global challenges. I believe it can be done. And I believe that Europe can and must take the lead in shaping that global response.
So, of course, there was the typical whining and moaning about climate change. And now, of course, climate change and AI go hand in hand. Here's the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres.
Now, these two issues, climate and AI, are exhaustively discussed by governments, by the media, and by leaders here in Davos.
Media.
And yet,
media,
we have not yet an effective global strategy to deal with either.
No, no!
And the reason is simple. Geopolitical divides are preventing us from coming together around global solutions for global challenges.
Nobody wants your globalism. And in fact,
it's interesting to listen to that, because what he's actually saying is there's all these challenges, and the only reason we can't solve these problems is because we don't have one world government with a dictator at the top.
Yes.
That's what he just said.
And Trump, one of his executive, President Trump, we should say, one of his executive orders was no to this global tax. No, we're not participating in it. We won't have any part of it, which I'm sure is a blow to the Davos people. And of course, little Licky Boy shows up when it comes to AI.
We've been paying a global tax.
Well, they've been planning that for a while now. That probably would have been the topic of discussion if it was Kamala Harris was our president. Well, global tax time, everybody. This is a good idea. Oh, yeah. To tax everybody for AI and climate change. Nope. So Licky Boy shows up when it comes to AI. Sam Altman trying to smooth things over. Oh, don't be too worried about AI. This guy is the vocal fry master.
Humans really care about what other humans think. That seems very deeply wired into us. So Chess was one of the first like victims of AI, right?
Chess, John, did you know Chess was one of the first victims of like AI, right?
Could be Kasparov, whenever that was, a long time ago.
Right.
And all of the commentators said, this is the end of chess. Now that a computer can beat the human, no one's gonna bother to watch chess again, ever. It's over. Or play chess again. Chess has, I think, never been more popular than it is right now. And if you, like, cheat with AI, that's a big deal. And no one, or almost no one, watches two AIs play each other. We're, like, very interested in what humans do. When I read a book that I love, the first thing I do when I finish is, like, I want to know everything about the author's life.
Yeah, that's what I do, too. The minute I finish a book, I want to read everything about the author's life. Do you have time for work, Sam Altman? I mean, you must be so busy researching authors' lives. Wow.
Well, what he means by that is he looks him up on Wikipedia.
Exactly.
5 seconds. So
no, he just says, hello, ChatGPT, tell me about this author's life.
And I want to, like, feel some connection to that person that
I feel connection.
Why
made this
why
thing
I don't know why. It's just let the Licky Boy talk.
Feel some connection to that person that made this thing that resonated with me. Humans know what other humans want very well. Humans are also very interested in other people. I think humans are gonna have better tools. We've had better tools before, but we're still like very focused on each other.
Whatever. That was the crux of his speech. Now, the big one came in the form.
That was the crux of his speech?
Yes.
That people like people?
Yes, people. They like people. Yeah, I expected Barbara Streisand to walk out. Hello, Sam. This was the big one at Davos. This is what everyone's focused on. They even made a commercial kind of infotainment, valuetainment piece for it.
Misinformation is the biggest short-term risk to the world. Misinformation and disinformation will be the top risk to countries around the world over the next 2 years. The world.
Yes, really.
Economic
not
forum
fires, not
no,
earthquakes,
no,
not storms,
no,
not even climate change.
No, the biggest risk is, well, misinformation and disinformation about climate change. It tops everything. The people, the spell has been broken. They realize now that they no longer have.
And this is your theme for the show, by the way. I caught it. Okay.
The spell has been broken. The elite messaging system no longer works, and they're realizing it. So the only thing they can do is attack everything else, saying you don't want to risk being mis or disinformed by any other media than the ones we approve of. This is the message that you will hear in this communique
around the world over the next 2 years. The World Economic Forum has revealed in its annual global risk report. The WEF surveyed hundreds of experts worldwide and found that false and misleading content is seriously harming the geopolitical environment in a number of ways. It enables foreign entities to affect voter intentions. It can so-
if foreign entities are affecting their intentions, people are voting wrong. They're voting wrong because of this.
Foreign entities.
By the way, before this clip even finishes, I'm going to give it clip of the day.
Well, that is just fantastic.
I can tell. It's so stupid. They just take the public for a bunch of idiots. But please continue this clip.
Yes, that is correct. And they are telling them that they're idiots because they're getting the wrong information.
In a number of ways. It enables foreign entities to affect voter intentions. It can sow doubt among the public about what is happening in conflict zones. And it can be used to tarnish the image of products or services from another country.
Oh, it tarnishes products and services from another country. Those Peugeot cars, they suck. Oh, you're tarnished. It's misinformation.
High fructose corn syrup.
It sucks.
A number of countries in Europe ranked misinformation as one of its top 5 risks, according to the WEF. These include the Czech Republic, Germany, Ireland, the Netherlands, and Sweden. Other European countries, such as France, Greece, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and the UK, also rank it highly, often in the top 10. It's becoming increasingly hard to know where to turn for true information.
Oh, it's so hard to know where to turn for true information.
The report.
Don't go to podcasts.
With political and societal polarization skewing narratives and distorting facts. Respondents in high-income countries are generally more likely to express concern about the risk of misinformation over the next 2 years than respondents in lower-income countries, according to the report, although there are some exceptions. People worried about disinformation also often highlight societal polarization as one of the most severe risks in the same time frame.
Don't argue with each other about topics, just all agree with what we say.
With poor quality content and lack of trust in information sources continuing to present a threat to societies. Experts have repeatedly said that the best way to protect yourself from misinformation is to stick to impartial, well-established news outlets, such as news agencies, to keep on top of the most accurate information.
Yeah, keep reading the news agencies. The news agencies, they are the ones you can trust. The news agencies.
Wow.
And so the Spanish Prime Minister, Pedro Sanchez, great DJ name, by the way. Hola, hola, hola! Oche, 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 Pedro Sanchez here in the morning with you. So Pedro, who's a good-looking guy. Pedro's kind of a hottie. Pedro stands up and he lays it all out and he says, we cannot have this! And here's the solution.
I propose putting an end to anonymity on social media. In our countries, no one can walk the streets with a mask on their face or drive a car without a license plate. No one can send packages without showing an ID or buy a hunting weapon without giving their name. And yet, we are allowing people to roam freely on social networks without linking their profiles to a real identity. This paving the way for misinformation,
hate speech,
and cyber harassment, because it is facilitating the use of bots, and it is allowing people to act without being held accountable for their actions. Such an anomaly cannot continue. In a democracy, citizens have the right to privacy, not to anonymity or impunity.
That's interesting. I didn't know that in a democracy you have the right to privacy, but not to anonymity. Is that true in a democracy?
That's horseshit. By the way,
don't you vote?
When do you have to show an ID to send a package? That's exactly what he said.
Well, I don't know about Europe. It's
okay, what do you got here? I'm going to send this package to Adam from here. Okay, let me see your ID. Let me see your ID. When has that ever happened at the post office or the UPS or any place?
But isn't the fundamental part of democracy is voting anonymously? Isn't that
anonymity? You're right.
I would think that's a
secret ballot.
Secret ballot.
Not to anonymity or impunity, because with those two, social coexistence would be impossible.
Okay, social coexistence is out, it's gone, it's all over, but Pedro has a solution.
I can already imagine. I already know what it is. Here we go.
Of course you know what it is.
Impossible. That is why I believe we must push forward the principle of pseudonymity as the functioning element of social media and force all these platforms to link every user account to an European digital identity wallet.
Woo!
This way, citizens could use nicknames if they want, but in the case of a crime, public authorities would be able to connect those nicknames to real people and hold them responsible. Because accountability is not an obstacle to freedom of speech. It is an essential complement to it.
It is an obstacle if you talk about things like hate speech. Yes, it's an obstacle.
So what's the... You're on social media and they want to link you to a crime that you committed on social media, which can only be hate speech on social media, like in the UK.
Correct.
Where they're even threatening to extradite U.S. citizens for hate speech in this country that has something to do with the UK.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous.
Yes, but the thing that I found interesting is he said a European Union digital ID wallet. Notice he added wallet.
Yeah,
I think was a mistake. He's giving it away.
It may be just a language problem that wallet to him might be, he might just said wallet. I mean, what? Okay, well, let's break this down. If he meant wallet, what is that? Why use the word wallet?
Because they're going to roll out a European digital ID / wallet for your digital euro, which Fifi Lagarde has been talking about for a long time.
Oh, so you're saying it's not just a digital ID, it's a
wallet.
The futuristic version of a smart card.
They're going,
that's got your bank information, your health information, every single thing that would normally be in your wallet is now on this card walking around with you. So if somebody wants to steal your identity, they're better off stealing the card.
Yes. Yes, I'm pretty.
That also gives, besides your identity, it gives them some cash.
Well, only if they have the biometric keys to get in. I'm sure it will be very safe.
Oh yeah. No one's ever hacked such a thing.
It will be very, very
because
safe.
Hackers are too stupid.
Yeah.
To be able to crack these things left and right.
It's Europe, man. Like, let them stew in their own juice. We've warned them enough on this show. And if people are not going to do anything about it...
We obviously have not warned anybody enough about anything.
That's true. There were a couple more things related to Davos. The foreign minister... Oh, no, the high representative of foreign affairs for the European Union, Kallas. She had a...
The high representative?
Very. She's super high. She's very high. That's her...
Woo!
That's her honorific.
Amen.
She had a great little slogan on how to prevent war, and it rhymes too.
The European Union needs to boost its defense spending to prepare for the worst and be able to defend itself alone if needed, according to the bloc's top diplomat, Kaja Kallas. She said EU member states spent a collective average of 1.9% of their GDP on defense, while Russia was spending 9%.
There should be no doubt in any of our minds that we need to spend more to prevent war.
Oh, it's a bumper sticker. Spend more to prevent war. That's the best. I want a T-shirt
That's good.
I want a T-shirt.
I don't even know that she knows that it rhymes.
Spend more, prevent war.
But we also need to prepare for war.
Don't
we
prepare.
Need to improve our capability.
Get ready for war.
Hold on a second. We're looking. This is the thing about Europe. These assholes want to be in war all the time.
Yes.
And they're just basically drumming up, they're working themselves up. I mean, we've done a pretty good job, I think, the United States, of keeping them from doing this. But we can't do it forever. The dam's going to break. We might as well just get out of NATO, stop giving money to the Ukraine thing, and let these assholes go shoot them each other.
I think you've said quite clearly what you think of them. I think she's on the other side of our boy, Mark Rutte. You know, we have to spend much more than 5% on our military. And we must spend that with American defense companies. because we want America in here. And she's doing the opposite. Remember, he said, if you don't want to do it, you can start your own military defense.
Right, which is what they're going to do anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, we can expect to get some sales for a while. And then it's going to go to the European defense contractors.
Airbus.
Well, Airbus and Saab and all these other operations.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of them. There's more than a few. And they can crank it up in Germany if they want to.
If
they can really militarize quick.
If Germany wants to even stay in NATO, there's talk about
NATO's out the window. Let's face it. NATO's going to fall apart. Not tomorrow, but it's going to fall apart because it's stupid.
Mm.
And it's going to fall apart. The Russian thing, the Russians don't know, the Russians know what's going to happen. They're going to get attacked once again, like they get attacked every so often for whatever reason. And it's going to be a mess.
I continue, 20 more seconds.
We need to improve our capabilities. We need our defense industry to produce what we need.
Yes.
We must prepare for the worst.
Over the next decade.
Gosh, that sounds like a kindergartner. Doing a book report, we must prepare for the worst.
We must prepare for the worst.
Over the next decade, Kala said the EU will need at least 500 billion euro to remain competitive in defense.
Yeah.
But so far, only about 13 billion euro has been earmarked in the EU's long-term budget from 2021 to 2027.
Pony up, citizens. Pony up.
Come on, gotta get to the trillions. See, this
it's no good.
500 billion is nothing.
It's nothing. No,
we spend more. We do 800 million.
In a year.
800 billion a year.
In a year.
Yeah, we do 800 billion a year. Yeah. They can beat that.
Foam finger number one, baby. So
most of ours is waste, though, and scams and grift.
Let's get back. Yes, expensive toilet seats. Let's get back to a climate. Here is the EU high representative of climate, the climate chief.
Another high person?
Oh, he's very high. This guy is a Dutchman. I thought it was the climate pope, Frans Timmermans, but I guess he's no longer the guy. Now it's Wopke Hoekstra. What a great name, Wopke. W-O-E-P-K-E. Wopke. Wopke.
Wopke. Hey, Wopke, what are you doing?
Hey, Wopke. And he has the Dutch accent, but it's better. It's short.
Well, first and foremost, we will continue to engage with our American friends and partners across domains, in the domain of geopolitics, in the domain of trade, but also in the domain of climate action. But also, this will require more assertiveness, more diplomacy from Europe across the globe. And of course, when there is a vacuum, others will fill it. And that holds good for us, but I'm sure the Chinese, the Indians, and others will play their part as well. So what we will do is a couple of things in the years to come. You know, we will continue to double down on renewables, on grid capacity, on battery capacity.
Oh, yeah,
that is
one. Sure.
Secondly, we're going to be very, very clear on making sure we enhance our autonomy and decrease our dependencies.
Yeah, good. Go for it. Go for it.
Battery.
It's truly insane. And the European people just sitting by going, oh, okay, whatever. Is TikTok back yet? Yeah. It's like, it's all good.
Batteries.
In Davos, CNBC has their out. This is, they've been doing this for as long as we've been doing this show.
Oh, no, longer.
Longer. Yeah. They sit outside in the snow for the beautiful backdrop of Davos. And everyone has their winter coats on, and they make the CEO sit outside in the cold, in the snow, and talk about stuff. And the saddest guy, I don't even know why he went, was Satya Nadella of Microsoft, who clearly is getting screwed on the Stargate deal. You know, because Altman was there saying, oh, yeah, I'm a part of this. Yeah, Larry Ellison, oh, yeah, it's all good. And here's that little short dude. Make him stand on the stool because he's paying for it. Oh, yeah, it's all great. So, of course, they have to ask him, like, well, are you screwed?
President Trump announcing a new joint venture yesterday called Stargate to build and grow AI infrastructure in the U.S. OpenAI, SoftBank, and Oracle plan to commit $100 billion to... to start, potentially up to $500 billion over 4 years. Microsoft listed as one of the partners to the new venture. Joining us now for an exclusive interview is Satya Nadella, chairman and CEO of Microsoft. Good morning to you.
Thank you so much.
It's so good to talk to you in the midst of all of this, because we're all trying to understand it and what it means, whether it's possible to get to $500 billion, and what it means specifically, I think, for your partnership with OpenAI, given that they had been using Azure exclusively, and now obviously are going to be on other platforms as well.
Yeah, first of all, anytime a company that you've sponsored and were essentially a seed investor in raises money from others, it's a good day. A good day for OpenAI and a good day for Microsoft and our investors. Look, our partnership continues.
Our partner, whenever Silicon Valley guys talk like that, well, our partnership continues. That means you've been cut out of the deal. You're screwed.
Pretty much,
he's
yes.
totally screwed.
That's
am I right? Valley speak. No, our partnership is strong. It's good.
And our investors. Look, our partnership.
You keep saying look.
Well, that's the giveaway. Look.
And our investors. Look, our partnership continues. We'll be a tech partner to Stargate, but more importantly.
They'll be a tech partner to Stargate. You put that on page 35 of your deck. Yes, we're a tech partner to Stargate. I've written so many of those decks. Well, we have a partnership, which means we had coffee with them.
Our partnership
strategic partners is the other one.
That's better, strategic partnership.
OpenAI, you talked about exclusivity. OpenAI APIs are exclusive to Azure going forward even. So nothing changes there. IP access to Microsoft continues. And in fact, because of this, there will be more IP. And so therefore we'll benefit. And we are rev share arrangements.
Rev share.
And also OpenAI committed in a very significant way to Azure consumption. And so we're very thrilled about that as well. So all up, as far as I'm concerned, this accelerates OpenAI's model work, which accelerates Microsoft's ability to go to market with those models and really grow our business.
Yes, we're going to grow the business. Whatever you do, end with, we're going to grow the business. It's great. Invest now while stocks last. We're going to grow the business. I do have to just stop here by the Stargate stuff, because this was super interesting, because Trump is doing everything live now. It's like, we'll do it live. Bring him on in. So here's the Deutsche Welle report of, which is quite funny, of the Stargate announcement.
Together, these world-leading technology giants are announcing the formation of Stargate. So put that name down in your books, because I think you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. A new American company that will invest $500 billion at least in AI infrastructure in the United States and very rapidly, creating over 100,000 American jobs almost immediately.
Bullshit. $500 billion of investment. That's a huge number. What do you think we can expect from these investments?
So it's $500 billion total, but $100 billion in the next year. And these three players, really what we know about this is that it's going to be data centers. But let's break down these companies a little bit. OpenAI, that's a company that some folks might have heard of already. They're responsible for ChatGPT, this generative artificial intelligence product. Folks might have used this, in fact, to help maybe plan vacations or meal plans, that kind of a thing. It's very useful. User-friendly.
It's very user-friendly. I plan my vacation with it. This is
a meal plan.
Meal planner,
really.
We've really
come a long way.
That's the extent of OpenAI. That's true.
Meal plan.
It's true. That's what it's good for. Meal planning. I love it.
Artificial intelligence.
I don't even see it being good for meal planning.
You should try it sometime. I bet it's great for meal planning. This is
what is meal planning? Let's start with that premise. What is it?
Let's ask ChatGPT.
What's meal planning? I got a family of three.
Yeah.
And I need a meal plan for tonight. OpenAI, give me a meal plan. What's it going to tell me?
I have
a family of three.
Give me a meal plan for tonight. Okay. I'm doing it on the fly, baby. Here we go. OpenAI, ChatGPT says, gotcha. Here's a simple balance.
It does.
Exclamation mark. Gotcha. Gotcha. Here's a simple, balanced, and delicious meal plan for your family of three. Main dish. You nailed it. Lemon garlic chicken thighs. Very nice. Side dish one, garlic mashed potatoes. Side dish two, steamed broccoli with olive oil and lemon. And an optional dessert, chocolate mug cakes. And it's really in on the lemon, because for a drink it says water with a slice of lemon. They're really into lemon, this ChatGPT outfit.
No kidding, and garlic.
Yeah. Good lemon and garlic. All right, we continue.
This generative artificial intelligence product, folks might have used this, in fact, to help maybe plan vacations or meal plans, that kind of a thing. It's very user-friendly. Oracle is a massive software maker. In 2020, they were the third largest software company in the world. And they're also really known for
Wait, let's stop. Who is this chatterbox?
She's the business expert that they bring in. You know, here's our business correspondent. But wait until you hear how much she knows about Oracle.
And they're also really known for data centers. And both of those companies are based out of the United States, but SoftBank is a Japanese company, but they've got some very deep pockets. And they're known for investing in artificial intelligence companies, software companies, and also automation companies. So those are the players that we have right now. And really, this is about data centers. Joe Ellison, the...
Joe Ellison? What?
Joe.
She's the expert in... And she calls him Joe Ellison.
From now on, Larry Ellison will be known to the No Agenda Nation as Joe Ellison.
This is the kind of reporting that we get from these people.
Joe Ellison.
Joe Ellison.
It's the best. Come on, this is great. Joe Ellison, man, it's fantastic. Now
he's not even running the company anymore as a chairman.
But Joe Ellison is the guy. And before I get to Joe Ellison, I should play this because trouble on the home front.
President Trump announced yesterday a $500 billion investment in AI. Then last night, Elon Musk publicly criticized it, saying that they didn't have the money. What's that all about?
So when I covered Trump,
I didn't realize that's Anderson Cooper.
Yes.
But I didn't realize how he sounds a lot, except for the fact that he stammers. He sounds almost identical to Jake Tapper, if you listen to him.
I think he's pretty distinctive. I mean,
I don't know. I think there's a Jake Tapper element to his voice.
It's a milieu, John. A milieu.
That's exactly what it is.
A milieu.
President Trump announced yesterday.
There he does sound a bit like Jake. I agree. I'll agree with you, but let's not get hung up on it.
$500 billion investment in AI. Then last night, Elon Musk publicly criticized it, saying that they didn't have the money. What's that all about?
So when I covered Trump in his first administration, there was this huge announcement around Foxconn. They were going to build this electrics factory in Wisconsin. It's this Taiwanese maker. And there was all this publicity around it. It was a big White House push. They encouraged reporters to talk about it. And then it never ended up materializing, certainly not in the way that it was touted. It did not create anywhere near as many jobs as they said initially. And so when this came out yesterday and Trump was in the Roosevelt Room making this announcement, I reminded people that this did happen before, and with these announcements, you kind of have to wait and see what happens before you go too far. Now, on this one, we don't know. This is a data center that they're creating, hoping to kind of expand infrastructure. United States when it comes to artificial intelligence, because people like Sam Altman, who was standing next to Trump in the room yesterday, have warned we're way behind China when it comes to the AI race.
Oh,
but Elon
bullshit.
Musk is pouring cold water on this idea that this is a $500 billion investment. Initially, it's supposed to be $100 billion and then get up to $500 billion. Elon Musk is claiming that this company doesn't even have $10 billion behind this to do this. Now, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, is disagreeing.
They're
basically in legal warfare. That's important context here between Elon Musk and Sam Altman. They're suing each other. Or Elon Musk is suing them. And so it is important to remember there's tension here. But really, the story of this is Elon Musk is undercutting Donald Trump on one of the biggest announcements he made on his first full day in office. And it raises that question we've been talking about, which is, what does this look like when someone who is not afraid to have voiced his opinion, neither of them are, when those conflict and what this ultimately looks like? But the White House is saying that people should take Trump's word for it, not Elon's.
Yeah. So, Elon, shut up, man. Shut up. This is good for America. 100,000 jobs.
Well, Elon's
He's probably more right than wrong.
No, he's told. I'm sure he's completely right. He's probably even exaggerating a tenth billion.
Yeah.
He says there's no money. He says it's bull crap. And I believe that's to be true. But yeah, Trump's trying to do one thing. This is, I think, however this even got to become an issue, I think has something to do with the Bannon thing. Bannon's still upset about, Elon. He hates Elon.
Yeah.
Because he usurped him in the position of being a Trump's buddy.
Yeah. And yes, good point.
We haven't talked about this. He predicted that Elon would be gone. He's going to be gone before the inauguration. Well, he's not gone.
No, but this is a crack in the armor. This is not good. This is not good. And I will say that.
Well, I don't know if it's not good or not. Maybe Trump is being led down a primrose path by these other bullshit artists.
Totally. He's completely bought into AI. And he's been told that we need more energy. So that's something he can understand. What, you need more energy? I'm going to make more energy. That he has down. But will it, I mean, you probably did hear about China's DeepSeek. Did you hear about this?
No, you got me there.
Yeah, so the Chinese DeepSeek have released an open source model, which I love this. You know, it's this whole open source thing started with Meta when they released the Llama model, which is really ruining the business model for these magicians like Altman. And their model matches or exceeds OpenAI's latest model 01 on various benchmarks, whatever that means. But their cost is
whatever that means.
But
yeah, menu planning.
But they charge only 3% of the price that it takes to train an open AI model, and that was quite a story on CNBC. I don't know if it's true, but that is something that we need to keep in the back of our mind. But really, none of this is about menu planning. It's not about planning your vacation. Joe Ellison told us quite clearly what this is going to do.
Once we gene sequence that cancer tumor, you can then vaccinate the person, design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
So I'm listening to this. I'm like, so you're making an mRNA. Do you think that they're planning on creating an mRNA shot that reverses the previous mRNA damage that has been done, tailored to each individual?
I really don't think so. But McCullough this morning sent out one of his courageous discourse Substack column, sent out a discussion about this particular bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, and he talked about why it won't work, mainly because it doesn't take into account all kinds of stuff. But the thing that disappointed me about McCullough's thing and this report and everybody else that talks about this is that we have redefined what a vaccine is to some malarkey. But when you listen to the description of what this is supposed to do, this is a therapy. A therapy is not a vaccine. Yes. A vaccine is to prevent cancer in the first place.
Yes.
This is a therapy. Nobody uses the word therapy.
No, because they changed the meaning of the word vaccine during COVID.
The new meaning is bull crap.
The new meaning is just something you get with a needle.
Yeah, the boom. A B12 shot.
Is a vaccine. Yes. Taking blood. It's a reverse vaccine. Good news, though.
I think Larry's off his rocker when it comes to... Joe. Joe's off his rocker when it comes to this. And this whole thing, just pie in the sky stuff, sounds interesting. It's going to go nowhere. It's going to cost a lot of taxpayer money.
Well, it's supposed to be Masa-san's money, not our money.
Oh, yeah, sure. This guy hasn't put money into anything. He's really good at talking WeWork. The big game and doing nothing.
He put a lot of money into WeWork. That was a good one. Remember that?
Yeah, he did, but it was, he leverages to an extreme. I don't think that they really, he's not a risk taker in the sense that he makes himself out, makes himself look to be.
I'm with you there. There was
some, by any means,
there was some really good news that came out for a number of our producers who will love hearing this. Effective January 22nd, 2025, yesterday, UCSIS waives any and all requirements that applicants for adjustment of status, so if you want to come into the United States legally, if you have married an American citizen, to that of a lawful permanent resident, present documentation on the form I-693, report of immigration medical examination, vaccination record, that they received the COVID-19 vaccination. USCIS will not issue any requests for evidence or notice of intent to deny relating to providing a COVID-19 vaccination. So that is no longer an issue. That was a big one.
That was a huge one.
And that just floated under the wire. Almost no one talked about that.
We had the number of people that are producers of this show that have this problem.
Yes, that's why I'm very happy to report it to them. It's great news. Because that was a big problem. Everybody can kind of show that you had your polio and your smallpox. Most people who want to come in, but they didn't want the
you
COVID
can get
the
counterfeit documents and make it work.
Okay, yeah, it's easy. But then at the end of this briefing, the president takes questions as he's known to do, and this was fantastic. He's negotiating a deal on live TV.
Are you open to Elon buying TikTok?
I would be if he wanted to buy it, yeah.
On your inauguration.
I'd like Larry to buy it, too. I have the right to make a deal.
I'd like Larry to... Joe. His name is Joe.
So the deal I'm thinking about...
You're talking about Larry Ellison?
Yeah, who's standing
right
there.
You sure he's talking about Larry Ellison? Yeah, not Larry Page?
No,
or Larry,
no, he's standing right there.
Larry Moe and Curly?
He looks right at Joe Ellison and says, Larry, I'm sure Larry...
Oh, Ellison is there?
Yeah, this is at the end of this announcement. This was the...
Oh, okay.
We're just taking questions off the cuff.
Oh, I'd like Larry to buy it. He points at... Oh, that's interesting.
Oh, wait.
I have the right to make a deal. So the deal I'm thinking about, Larry, let's negotiate in front of the media.
Not put you on the spot or anything, Larry.
The deal, I think, is this. And I've met with owners of TikTok, the big owners. It's worthless if it doesn't get a permit. It's not like, oh, you can take the U.S. The whole thing is worthless. With a permit, it's worth like $1 trillion.
Okay, that may be. This is a Mar-a-Lago type valuation of TikTok. Do you think it's worth $1 trillion?
Got him in the trouble in New York already.
$1 trillion? That seems like a lot, but we'll stick with the president and his thinking.
So what I'm thinking about saying to somebody is buy it and give half to the United States of America, half, and we'll give you the permit.
Yeah.
And have a great partner, the United States.
Exactly. I love it. President Trump is negotiating on our behalf. He wants to get $500 billion. I think it's interesting the numbers all match up here. But $500 billion from whoever buys TikTok. This is a good deal.
And they'll have something that's actually more valuable because they have the ultimate partner, and the United States will make it very worthwhile for them in terms of the permits and everything else. But so think of it, you have an asset that has no value or has $1 trillion value. It all depends on whether or not the United States gives the permit. So what I'm saying is let the United States give the permit and the United States should get half.
Now wait for it.
Sounds reasonable. What do you think?
Sounds like a good deal to me, Mr. President.
Yeah. He can afford it too.
So Larry Ellison says, sounds like a good deal to me, Mr. President. Let me get my checkbook. Sounds like a banger of a deal, Mr. President. Wow. Four more years, John. Nothing can outstrip what we're about to witness in the next 4 years. It's just phenomenal. I'm excited. I'm fired
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I can tell.
I'm fired up by all of this. This is great.
It's definitely funny.
That's what I mean. It's like we got the news is so flustered. They're calling Larry Joe. I mean, this is good stuff. You got Satya Nadella going humana in the snow. This you can't write this. You just can't write this. This next executive order I thought was fascinating from a legal standpoint. And I read into the documents, and I'm, of course, going to get counsel, our no agenda counsel, constitutional lawyer Rob, to weigh in. I think Trump has an interesting angle here.
This next order relates to the definition of birthright citizenship.
And with one signature, President Donald Trump sought to take away a key part of the 14th Amendment, birthright citizenship. But before the ink even dried, the American Civil Liberties Union had filed a lawsuit.
People that are born here in the United States are entitled to U.S. citizenship. And so President Trump cannot unilaterally end birthright citizenship.
More than 20 states have also filed suit against the executive order, including New Jersey.
Our broad coalition of states is standing up for the president and defending the rule of law.
Birthright citizenship guarantees any person born on U.S. soil is a U.S. citizen. It's part of the 14th Amendment added to the Constitution after the Civil War.
That was meant to extend, and did extend, citizenship to formerly enslaved people.
Swarthmore College political science professor Emerita Carol Nakanoff wrote American by Birth, a book about the Supreme Court case that established automatic citizenship for people born in the U.S. Trump's executive order, though, is new territory.
I don't believe any president has tried to alter birthright citizenship through an executive order.
Since Trump's election, immigration advocacy groups in Pennsylvania have protested, anticipating the new administration's actions.
It's really important that state and local officials reject any state agency action that would restrict the issuance of birth certificates.
As the issue now heads to the courts, Nakanoff is already analyzing the type of impact that could go down in history.
It certainly makes the U.S. look far less welcoming.
So first of note is that this will not affect previous persons who were born in the United States.
No, it can't, because that'd be ex post facto. You can't do that by the Constitution.
Exactly. So it's 30 days from the signing of the executive order. But I think he has a point. As you look at Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States. And so what the executive order, it's not changing anything. It's an interpretation, which is incorrect from this report. So I'll just read this one paragraph from the executive order. But the 14th Amendment has never been interpreted to extend citizenship universally to everyone born within the United States. The 14th Amendment has always excluded from birthright citizenship persons who were born in the United States, but not, quote, subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Consistent with this understanding, the Congress has further specified through legislation that, quote, a person born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof is a national and citizen of the United States at birth, generally mirroring the 14th Amendment's text. So what he's saying is, if your parents were here and they were here illegally, they were technically not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States.
That is the point of contention, because what's happened so far.
Of course it is.
What's happened so far is, for example, diplomats come over, they have a baby, but they're not subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. Well, diplomats are subject to.
There's a carve out for diplomats. They get to park anywhere they want to. They're not subject to.
That's because they're not subject to our laws, period.
I'm not arguing with you.
So the diplomats are. The illegal aliens, I'm taking the side of the argument. I have another a look at this.
Mm-hmm.
The illegal aliens are subject to the jurisdiction because they get arrested, they get thrown in jail, they get treated like Americans. I haven't seen any evidence to the contrary of that. So they can make that argument. That's the argument they're going to make. But the problem is, what they're hoping for is this goes to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And they're hoping to God that the originalists that are on the Supreme Court, and there's a couple of them, not quite to the level that they used to have, but there's a couple of them, and they look back at the arguments that created this law, and the guys who put the law together specifically said it was only for the slaves.
Yeah, so then you just that they should use that argument.
That's what's going to happen. They're going to go back and forth on this, and they won't do it. They haven't got the Supreme Court, the current Supreme Court, with all the conservatives, nonetheless, including Amy Coney Barrett, They don't have the guts to do it. They won't do it. This is not going to work. And it's going to get thrown back, and we're going to be stuck with this. We're the only country in the Western Hemisphere that does this, by the way. If you're born in any other country, this doesn't happen, but it happens here.
That apparently is not true. I thought that too, but it turns out there's
Name one country.
Well, I had a report, and I didn't.
You don't have to. Just go to ChatGPT and ask.
Okay, which countries allow citizenship. I think there's about 30 countries that allow it. Also known as jus soli, the right of soil. Canada, Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, Chile, Colombia, Costa Rica, Ecuador, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Venezuela.
Somebody's misleading us.
Yes. France also, if at least one parent is a resident or the child resides in France for a certain period. Well, that's just one parent. That makes sense.
That's different.
Pakistan, children of diplomats are allowed, as we discussed earlier. The ones who have abolished it are the United Kingdom and India. So I only know this because I heard a report, which I didn't clip because I didn't think it would come up. So we may not be the only ones to do it, but we are the only ones who wrote this specifically for slavery. I'm sorry, formerly enslaved persons.
Yeah, I found that usage quite
odd. So annoying. It's so annoying.
Formerly enslaved.
Yeah.
There were slaves.
Yeah. But I think probably the most interesting set of executive orders which have just caused a tidal wave of emotions everywhere.
I have TikTok clips on this one.
Okay. Well, are we talking about DEI? I guess we are, right?
Oh, no, not DEI. I'm talking about transgender, two sexes.
Well, that's all a part of it. That's all.
Well, no, but it's a separate executive order.
Well, let's do that first, then. You play some clips. I want to hear.
Well, I was just going to say that one of the executive orders is that, and I think this was a setup. I think it's a honey trap. I have this thesis that the Republicans are going to try to keep this issue in the public eye.
To keep the Democrats talking about it.
To keep the Democrats all jacked up about transsexual, the trans-Maoist stuff that we've been talking about on this show forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because it hurts them in the elections. This is the Achilles heel of the Democrat Party, much the same way as it used to be abortion for the Republican Party. And it still is to some extent. And by the way, Mike Pence has put together an organization to stop the confirmation of Kennedy.
Yeah.
Because of his liberal policies, his liberal attitude. It's just his attitude about abortion and right to life compared to putting the two in his balances. Not in keeping with what Pence wants. So, Pence was a terrible person, terrible vice president. I don't like the guy, never did.
Was there a specific... what is the exact... I think the executive order you're referring to is that the federal government will only recognize two genders.
Yeah.
I don't think it specifically said LGBTQ or trans.
No, of course not. It didn't have to.
Okay. All right.
I have some clips here. I'm trying to, actually, when I'm going to go through these TikTok clips, I have way too many today.
Because here's what I heard. I heard that, it really won't affect anybody too much, except the big issue seems to be that you cannot identify as your gender of choice on your government documents, i.e. passport. I think it may still be allowed.
Well, you're not listening to the right sources because the thing that's going on is...
I'm not listening following. I'm wrong. I'm no good. I'm listening to the wrong sources.
You're not hearing the people that make this argument. Oh, I'm non-binary. It's all the non-binaries, by the way, making the biggest fuss.
Yeah.
I'm non-binary, so if I leave the country and I don't have the my passport checked properly, they won't let me back in the country.
Okay, so I am hearing the right argument, but I didn't hear the lower level of what it means supposedly to people. Because you look like a girl and it says boy in your passport, they're not going to let you in. Is that the idea?
That and among other things. Let's listen to this. We got a clip or two here. Let's play this one. This is talk anti-Trump trans lament.
Okay.
Please excuse my hair. I just woke up. Donald Trump was inaugurated at 12, and just a few minutes ago, he has now claimed that there.
Okay, stop the clip and start it over. She just woke up at noon.
So it's Monday or Tuesday? Does she even know what day it is?
So you start the clip off.
That's funny.
Please excuse my hair. I just woke up. Donald Trump was inaugurated at 12. And just a few minutes ago, he has now claimed that there will only be the male and female gender that will be recognized in America. This sets back everything that the trans community has been working for. And we have already not been recognized in this country for centuries. If we remember, gay marriage became legal 10 years ago. We had just earned the right to change our gender on our passports and IDs. Just because I want to identify as a man does not mean I am trying to hurt you. In these next 4 years, you are going to hear the most intense anti-trans propaganda you have ever heard in your entire life. And they're going to strew it in a way that sounds extremely convincing, because it will fearmonger. It will fearmonger everyone's insecurities. Please talk to your neighbors. Protect your trans community. Stay involved. And do not forget us, because history will try to erase us.
It's so sad that they don't understand that you can identify as a banana if you want to. No one in America cares about that. And they spelled it out quite clearly in the executive order, that it shall be based upon sex. Women or girls or girls should meet an adult and juvenile human female, respectively, men or man, boys or boy. Female means a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the large reproductive cell. Male means a person belonging at conception to the sex that produces the small reproductive cell. Man, Ketanji Jackson Brown should have been able to say that when she was questioned about it. But she didn't. Okay, so.
No, she's too busy working on her Broadway play.
Yeah.
Here's another one. This is a non-binary person. This one I have to describe because it's so good. This is the Satanist clip. This is a genetic woman who is now a man, and she never said her pronouns, so what am I supposed to do? She has gauged ears, piercings, big buck teeth, which makes it even somewhat weird, huge horned rim glasses, a lousy beard that you'd see on a 12-year-old kid who's trying to grow a beard, and bald, shaved, bald head, and just looks strange, and this is the pitch.
Well, it's been rough. It was not what I was expecting at all, considering some of the rhetoric he has said. I thought we as a nation were smarter, but I guess not. To my transgender and friends and, you know, the people who it affects, as long as you stay alive, they cannot say we don't exist. Being a Satanist means rebelling against them because they're wrong. And as long as you draw breath, every breath you take is a rebellion. Keep on fighting because you just have to. Hail Satan, hail reason always.
That's the offensive part at the end. I don't care what your buck teeth look like. Hail Satan. Give me a break. I'll return to that in a moment when you're done with these.
No, I don't really. I mean, the other one I have is kind of a pathetic clip that I have from last
year. They're all pathetic. And not even
there's
funny.
Levels of pathos that come and go.
Yeah, it's sad.
Spectrum of pathos. This is just a little shorty 17-second clip on the trans kid's age where somebody's being interviewed, some mom. These are all, it's interesting to me that women seem to be the promoters mostly of the trans movement in their children, not the men. And the men usually defend the born as sexuality, and the women are the ones, like Megan Fox with her three transgender
kids.
Three boys turned girls, and she and then she makes public
commentary. What are the chances?
She makes public commentary about she hates men, and I think there might be some connection between what's going on and hating men. But listen to this little clip. This
what is age do you think most trans kids determine that they're trans?
Violet told us when she was 1.5. She's been telling us since she could speak. So she knew since birth.
God help these people. That's just sad. That's sad. All right. Since we did Satan, I'm going to do this.
You're going to balance the coverage.
I'm going to balance the coverage.
Over the past 8 years, I have been tested and challenged more than any president in our 250-year history. And I've learned a lot along the way. The journey to reclaim our republic has not been an easy one, that I can tell you. Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom and indeed to take my life. Just a few months ago, in a beautiful Pennsylvania field, an assassin's bullet ripped through my ear. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason. I was saved by God to make America great again.
Yeah, baby! Everybody in the Hill Country was texting. We all loved it. It was fantastic.
Bet.
And but now I will balance the balance with what happened at the prayer breakfast, which was very odd.
A national prayer service is routine after an American president is inaugurated. Less routine, though, is for a bishop to address the new leader directly and make an appeal.
Yes.
Was this the prayer breakfast? I thought this was actually the church service.
No, this was after. No, the church service was before the inauguration.
We're talking about the crazy bishop that with the purple outfit.
Yes, that's the one. Yeah, so this was.
Oh, I thought this was at the church service.
No. This was the day after. And by the way, Joe Rogan was at the church service too.
Who was he now? Yeah. What did he think of this performance by this woman?
I will.
And by the way,
he wasn't at this one. He was at the service before the inauguration. This came after the inauguration. This is the next day. Yeah. Is the next day with this
display. I thought it was at church.
No.
Because they're all seated next to each other. It doesn't look like a breakfast. There's no tables.
Can you take my word for it?
Well, no. I mean, I could take, the woman said it was a prayer breakfast, too.
Prayer
service.
Yeah. Look, you get a little wafer. That's breakfast. Enjoy.
Whatever the case, I will say this: this woman who gave this lecture, and this is not even a sermon by any means.
Can we play the clip?
Went on the circuit. She was on CNN and Rachel and The View and everything afterwards. This was a setup.
Okay, Sherlock. Yes, it was a setup.
Though is for a bishop to address the new leader directly and make an appeal. On Tuesday, Marianne Budd urged Donald Trump to show mercy, specifically mentioning gay, lesbian, and transgender children who fear for their lives, as well as immigrants who are not criminals but pay taxes and are good neighbors.
I didn't actually hear any of those TikTok clips of the kids saying that they feared for their lives, so that may be a bit specious.
I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
The president did not appear happy during the remarks.
We may not be citizens.
And when asked for a reaction later, he was dismissal of the service.
Not too exciting, was it? I didn't expect think was a good service to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, press. Thank you, press.
They could do much better.
Later on his Truth Social platform, the president called Budd a radical left hardline Trump hater and said she and the church owed the public an apology. The bishop's comments came after Trump on Monday decreed that only two sexes, male and female, but not transgender, would be recognized. He also issued measures to suspend the arrival of asylum seekers and expel migrants in the country illegally. Budd has criticized Trump in the past, including in 2020 when police officers forcibly removed peaceful racial justice protesters so that Trump could take a photo outside a church holding a Bible. Budd said she was horrified by his use of the holy book for political purposes.
And meanwhile, what?
That was kind
of... So she goes on with for political purposes and gives a speech, but it's not okay for him.
I encourage anyone who's interested to go look at the Jamestown Compact, the Mayflower Compact. We came to this country based upon the Bible, the whole Constitution. You can the Declaration of Independence, God is mentioned four times. It's all been forgotten. But for this lady to come out and do that, that was quite disgraceful. It was just lame. And then Trump doubles down later, which this was kind of funny, I thought.
I always say tariffs is the most beautiful word to me in the dictionary. Then I was reprimanded by the fake news. They said, what about love, religion, and God? I said, I agree. Let's put God number one. Let's put religion number two. Love, I don't know. We got to put that number three, I guess, right? And then it's tariff.
The tariff. I mean, this is sacrilegious. Come on. So, tariffs.
It was hilarious.
So, I do have one more gay-related thing. This is an angry lesbian.
Oh, goodness.
But we've played these clips before about the lesbians who hate the TERFs.
Yeah.
Which is a term that we've seemed to have lost, which is the TERF.
What does it stand for again, TERF? Yeah,
see, we both read the trans exclusionary radical feminist.
There you go, TERF. Yes, yes.
And so these are women that are lesbians specifically that hate these trans women, which is ironic in some funny way because some of the it's just screwy. But listen to this. I guess yesterday or the day before was coming out day, one of these,
holidays. Oh, I missed it.
Did. You could have come out, but you didn't.
No one asked me to help them come out.
So here we go with coming out day and the irked lesbian.
I don't see coming out day.
It should be talk coming out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Talk, yes. Sorry.
Apparently it's National Coming Out Day, so I wanted to take this opportunity to encourage some of you to go back into the closet. Not everyone, just you weird ones who are ruining it for the rest of us. If you think Drag Queen Story Hour is a good idea, back in the closet. If you think transitioning minors is okay, back in the closet. If you think that teachers should have pride flags in their classrooms, back in the closet. And especially you guys who act out all your weird stuff in public, get back in the closet. Just go. Just get back in there.
Wow. Yeah. I saw pictures. There were two women standing outside the Capitol who had a sign. It's like, we're Trump voters. We're lesbians, not stupid. That was good. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Calm down, everybody. But I think your point is well made that this is a honeypot. It's important. I think it's important that this definition was at least put on paper. I mean, it's an executive order, so it's the policy of the US government. It can be reversed eventually. But to make it a honeypot and which worked, I have to find clips of the bishop going on all the shows and talking about it. I'm surprised you didn't get anything for me. That would have been good. I missed that.
I actually thought you'd get that.
I don't know.
She was on The View. You can get that. That was, I think, probably the day after.
I missed
it. And she was on CNN on a couple of different shows.
Oh, she was on
shows.
The View? Oh, man. Oh.
Yeah. By remote, by the way, which is really lame.
So let me run these couple DEI clips here, because this is what really has, I mean, I'm getting texts from all over. People saying, oh, my God, look at this thing that I've got. We have to immediately remove any DEI programs, which oddly are called DEIA. I'm not sure what DEIA.
I thought it was DEIA for affirming or something.
Oh.
And there was a joke that somebody made, it should be DEIAAA, and that way you get, you lose your job, but you get roadside service.
U.S. President Donald Trump has ordered federal employees hired under so-called diversity, equity, and inclusion programs to be placed on paid leave while the agencies that employ them draw up plans for their firing. This order meant to be fulfilled by 5 p.m. local time on Wednesday evening. And after that deadline has passed, people were encouraged to snitch on colleagues who had defied orders and tried to disguise programs in government agencies that were related to so-called DEI. Well, this then is a dramatic escalation. It was designed, these programs, the DEI programs, to reverse years of systemic inequities and to make the U.S. government look more like the U.S. population. But a U.S. government message sent to the U.S. agencies says that the programs have, quote, divided Americans by race, wasted taxpayer dollars, and resulted in shameful discrimination. Well, Donald Trump says that he wants to scrap these programs to create a so-called colorblind and merit-based society, but some people have criticized Donald Trump's movement, calling it just a smokescreen to fire civil servants.
Well, not entirely true, because he specifically wrote an executive order to the FAA, which is a huge deal for all the flyboys I know, especially the Navy guys, because they could not get an airline job coming out of the Navy with tremendous experience. No, if you're not gay and or black or preferably both or a woman, then you just could not get a job. They're all flying DHL and FedEx. They just can't get any other job. And President Trump specifically had an order for the FAA, and he said, you know, you're making our air travel dangerous.
I agree with this.
Oh, of course. Here's the CBS version.
Here's a big deal. President Trump's order to end diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, or DEI, across government are now having real-world consequences for federal workers.
Get radical left, woke ideologies the hell out of our military and out of our government.
In a memo first obtained by CBS News, the administration directed federal agencies to place all employees working in DEI roles on administrative leave by 5 p.m. today. Several federal workers in those programs told CBS News today they were reluctant to share their views publicly.
I spoke to some outstanding career public servants this morning who are all terrified.
Jonathan Lovitz worked on DEI programs for the Commerce Department in the Biden administration.
How might the average person at home, the taxpayer, be impacted by these cuts?
By your plane falling out of the sky?
Programs like this are designed to make sure every American is represented when we are making policy in the federal government. And now I'm so worried for so many communities who are now going to lose a voice at the table.
Just 34% of Americans in our CBS News poll said Trump should end DEI programs, but 64% of his supporters back the move. Trump is also encouraging the private sector to eliminate diversity initiatives, following McDonald's, Meta, and other big companies that have already rolled them back.
Well, this is good, because it's been so annoying for so long.
Well, I have the NPR version.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second.
Trump, DEI, and hilarity.
As of right now, the White House Office of Personnel Management has put all federal government employees who work in diversity, equity, and inclusion on administrative leave as President Trump moves to get rid of DEI initiatives in the federal government. The OPM directed all DEI offices to be shut down. Pennsylvania Congressman Chris DeLuzio called out House Republicans for focusing more on canceling DEI programs and increasing corporate profits over the needs of Americans.
We're in the third week of the Republican majority in the House and the Senate, this Congress. They've done nothing.
They've done nothing. They cut him off there. He was going to say something else.
No, I can't have that. I'll play one clip, which may come across as very racist, but that's not the intent. It is just to show what you get with DEI hires, the city of Philadelphia. I'm sure you've heard the city of
this was in my mind. This was like the clips of the bishop. I'm thinking, well, I wonder if Adam will clip this. I'm
Adam
not
will
going
clip
to.
This. I'm
going
to clip this. This is the mayor of Philadelphia.
E-L-G-S-E-S, Eagles! Let's go, Birds!
Yes, everybody, this was on every Fox News show.
It was everywhere, yes.
Everywhere.
It was everywhere.
This woman can't spell eagle. She spells it E-S-L-E something or other.
It was very unfortunate for her. Very, very unfortunate. Very unfortunate.
Racist.
Yes. I don't want to. But, you know, this was already building up with the Mo prophecy, where all of the black women who were supposed to take Trump down failed, all of them. And I haven't really seen the blame yet go that way, but I feel it's coming.
Yeah, I've heard this from him too. And it's a very interesting theory, because there was a lot of black women that were put in positions all over the place. And most of them were incompetent, corrupt, screw ups, and everything in between. They just couldn't do it. And then you had the Letitia James and the Fannie who couldn't, get this guy out of the sack. And just one thing after another. It was almost like it was set up to fail.
They haven't blamed it on them yet, but I'm feeling an undercurrent. Now to another. This was, in a way, a bad take here. Let's listen to this clip.
Just one day into his new administration, President Trump and his family are already cashing in on the crypto craze.
Are you going to be investing in Trump coin?
Trump launched his own cryptocurrency Friday night. Now it's worth an estimated $8 billion on paper. First Lady Melania Trump's new crypto coin debuted Sunday, briefly topping $1 billion too. They're called meme coins, a type of cryptocurrency where you bet on a popular trend or personality. You buy the coin online. Its value can dramatically go up or down. Trump's own website cautioning it's not intended to be an investment opportunity. Cryptocurrency is a type of digital money that's not backed or regulated by any government or banks. Ethics experts warn Trump's direct ownership of crypto is unprecedented for a president.
We should not be willing to accept financial conflicts of interest from our president, whether it's in cryptocurrency, social media platforms, or anything else.
The president in 2021 denounced cryptocurrencies.
Bitcoin, it just seems like a scam.
But he has since accepted a flood of donations from crypto companies who helped fund his re-election campaign. Trump also profits from a crypto venture called World Liberty Financial he helped launch days before the election. It bought nearly $300 million in Bitcoin and other coins Monday, just as Trump was getting sworn in.
Bitcoin and crypto will skyrocket like never before.
Trump appointed a first ever crypto czar to the White House, who now vows to take a friendly approach toward regulation.
So Bitcoin has not skyrocketed to the moon yet. And I should point out that this meme coin has $8 billion on paper. I mean, it's really like...
Well, it's not $8 billion in his pocket.
No.
Once it's on the open market, it's just traded freely between people and somebody you make out, somebody doesn't.
That presumes that there's $8 billion worth of buyers, so they could say... It's like putting Trump on Trump stakes. It's really... It's not an ICO. It's a meme coin. It's no better or worse than Doge. It's nonsense, but a very bad take. And I think it certainly hurt Bitcoin. But the new guy he's putting in, this is what the Bitcoin community is looking at. It's SAB21.
The blockchain technology.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Bank of America CEO.
The blockchain technology, we've got a lot of patents on them. Then there's a stable coin type of currency, digital currency. And then there's the investment management type of currency. And I think the first one and the second one, yes.
That one's hard because...
What?
Why is the guy hyperventilating?
It's just how he sounds.
And I think the first one and the second one, yes. The third one's hard because that's really an investment question and how it works. The issue has been for the last 10 years, as this has been talked about, is the enabling legislation was never there for the mainstream financial institutions to participate.
Sorry.
So not only do we have issues with supporting clients in the business, but we couldn't really transact it because the AML and BSA issues and all that stuff, and also sort of where the money is and who's holding it. So I think if you see enabling legislation, I think you're going to see our industry come at this hard. It's just another form of payment backed by dollars and treasuries and things like that.
So what he's talking about is staff accounting bulletin, actually 121, not 21, 121, which would allow banks to put crypto assets, mainly Bitcoin, on their balance sheets and not as a liability. I think that's going to happen, because then they can get in the business of, and they, you heard it, stable coins. It's all the same thing we've talked about. They want stable coins. That's going to be the new American digital dollar. You can just count on it happening. And Trump has not done anything yet in that regard, but he did toss the Bitcoin community a little bone.
Vote for me on day one. I will commute the sentence of Ross Ulbricht. He's already served 11 years. We're going to get him home.
That was then candidate Donald Trump making a campaign promise at the Libertarian Party National Convention to pardon Silk Road founder Ross Ulbricht. In 2011, Ulbricht set up his website. On the dark web, it was called Silk Road. It became a hub for people to sell lots of things, among them drugs, weapons, and, believe it or not, murder for hire services. Now, Ulbricht didn't do any of those things. He just provided the place on the web in which those transactions, often or almost exclusively paid for in cryptocurrency, could be transacted. In 2015, he received two life sentences, which many in that Libertarian Party convention you just saw thought was excessive. The FBI once referred to Silk Road as, quote, the most sophisticated and extensive criminal marketplace on the internet.
So, and it was more than righteous that Ross Ulbricht got out, because, I mean, they were corrupt DEA agents, FBI agents.
Oh, no, the whole thing, if you look into it,
it's really bad. But it was funny, because as I'm thinking back, and I went back and looked at it, do you remember that this first came out and we're like, what is this Silk Road? And then I started to look into it.
You bought stuff from them.
I did. Can you believe?
I think you put a couple of hits out on some other podcasters. And what else would you get?
It's worse than that. It's worse than that. I went back and I looked, and this is cringe, cringe worthy. I bought a dime bag of drugs on Silk Road for 6 Bitcoin. Exactly. That's how I felt.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow was right. What did we know? It was the new money. It was the dark web.
I didn't.
It was the dark web. We didn't
you
know.
You just forgot the 6 Bitcoins. You could be fine. It'd been nice, but yeah. Okay. I have a couple of pardon clips from Trump. This is from NPR.
And this is by the way, I want people to know I did that for the show, okay? For the show. $600,000 I lost for the show.
For a
for dime
$10 bag.
Bag of weed
or whatever you bought.
I remember it came through the mail too. It was the funniest thing.
And there was you didn't get delivered by a hooker or anything, even a lap dance. No, I mean, come on.
I didn't get anything, nothing good out of it. And it wasn't even all that good. It was stems and seeds. Horrible.
You got gypped.
I got gypped. For the show, man. It's a service we provide to the show.
Well, we'll never make that one, that
no,
one up.
No, I don't think so. No.
Trump pardons one guy.
Yeah. yes. What is this, a clip?
Yeah.
Trump, where is it? Oh, sorry. I got it here.
On Monday, President Trump gave full, complete, and unconditional pardons to all of the people charged in connection with the deadly January 6th, 2021 attack on the Capitol. As NPR's Tom Dreisbach reports, one of the men Trump freed has already been rearrested on gun charges. Oh,
no. During the January 6th attack on the Capitol, Daniel Ball allegedly threw an explosive device, which ricocheted off a police officer's helmet and exploded, causing multiple injuries. Later, he allegedly threw a piece of wood at police officers protecting the Capitol. His case was pending when Trump ordered Ball freed as part of his blanket clemency for January 6th defendants. But then Ball was rearrested on unrelated charges. Federal prosecutors in Florida say he illegally possessed a gun, even though he had a criminal record for multiple felonies, including domestic violence battery by strangulation and resisting law enforcement by violence.
Well, this guy's got other issues.
You know,
so he throws a cherry bomb.
Yeah,
and it bounces off some guy's helmet. And this is it's an explosive device.
I'll tell you, J6er Jenny was happy. She got her pardon.
Good.
Yeah.
Trump promised to do this, and now everybody's bent out of shape that he did it.
Well,
it was part of his campaign. Hello.
They need something to talk about. This is what's so disappointing. Our media is obsessing over this stuff.
Here's a Trump pardon two.
Okay.
And those pardons have police organizations criticizing President Trump, saying they set a dangerous precedent. That includes the International Association of Chiefs of Police and the Fraternal Order of Police, which is the biggest police union in the U.S. Meanwhile, House Democrats are scheduled to hold a meeting this hour with former Capitol Police officers over Trump's pardons.
I thought the cops all endorsed Trump.
They did. This is something phony about this report. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to hear from, we have police that listen to this show. Let's hear from them. I mean, these guys were in jail long enough. And, you know, I've heard from people that, oh, you know, they heard of police. They were in jail longer than the guys in New York who punch out and kick cops.
Well, that's for sure.
I mean, give me a break.
I'm sure you saw the CNN appearance of one of these cops.
Oh, and by the way, where are the police department? Where are these associations with Biden pardoning his family and Fauci? Where are they?
And Schiff, who President Trump called a scumbag from the Oval Office. That was pretty interesting. That a scumbag, Schiff. Listen to this. This is not safe for work.
I believe we have sound from the Oath Keepers leader, Stuart Rhodes, who spoke after he was released from prison. I want to listen to that and then get your reaction to that on the other side, Michael. So let's listen.
This is Michael Fanone who will be speaking. I think he was one of the cops.
Any regrets?
No, I don't. Because we did the right thing. We were there to protect Trump supporters from Antifa. We were there to protect and secure two permitted events on Capitol grounds where members of Congress were going to speak. The guys that went inside, they're not committing the crimes. In fact, they help the police and help the people out.
He says he has no regrets. What do you say, Michael?
Yeah, I mean, this is what I would say to Stuart Rhodes. Go fuck yourself.
Hey, now.
Okay.
You're a liar.
I love the CNN news model.
You're lying.
Obviously get to beep that word out, but obviously this is personal to you, Michael. This is very personal to you. Have you been getting any threats? You talked about safety. You worried for your safety and for your family. Have you been getting any direct threats?
No, back in the day, they would have kicked someone off the air right away, but she just keeps him going and expects him not to do anything.
I never stopped getting threats. I mean, my family, the threats have never stopped. I didn't even make it through my congressional testimony during the select committee hearing before I received my first threat.
And they just continue.
In recent months.
It's kind of interesting how CNN were all over the all cops are bastards and, defund the police and this is no good. And now it's like, oh, this is horrible.
And they just continue.
Yeah. In recent months, you know, my mother has had her home swatted. She's a 76-year-old woman who lives alone. She has had bricks thrown at her house in the middle of the night. And just a few months ago, she was out raking the leaves in her front yard when an individual pulled up in a truck and threw a bag of shit on her.
CNN has become quite raucous.
I don't know that they can. They're out of control. They're going to have a big bloodbath. Bloodbath was the word used in some of the reports coming up.
Oh, yeah, the
firing. 1,000 people.
I heard 200. I don't know about 1,000.
No, there's going to be a big. No, that's the first report.
Oh.
The second report is 1,000. It's going to be mostly in the back. None of the.
They have 1,000 people working at CNN?
Oh, probably more.
Oh, man. Well,
obviously more.
We need some staff.
We have no staff.
I need some staff.
We can't afford it.
I need staff.
Before we leave the pardon discussion, we do have to play a couple super clips about from 2000 about.
Ah, you got it. I see. I stayed away from it because I thought it was too long, but I guess it's funny enough.
It's too long by 13 seconds because I have a limit on my clips.
What is two minutes and 44 seconds?
It's worth it. This refers to Biden's blanket pardons, future pardons, pardons for crimes that weren't committed, pardon this, pardon that. And what what happened in 2020,
this
when
is during
it
Trump.
Was
this is when Trump was near Trump's, the end,
because they said, "Oh, you know, Trump's gonna he's gonna pardon his family, and this is terrible. This would be the worst thing for democracy ever if he ever did that." He never did, by the way. He didn't pardon anybody. Very few pardons from Trump's administration. But we get this.
Have you ever heard of somebody getting a preemptive pardon who was innocent of all crime? Who's just an innocent person? Have you ever heard of that? Just somebody getting a blanket pardon and they're an innocent person?
But no, it's the president's own family. It's people that have been covering up for the president in addition to his own family.
Is there an innocent explanation for someone to seek preemptive pardons for family members? Would you do that if you knew you were innocent and just worried about outside forces?
The answer to that is going to be no. If you haven't done anything wrong, you sit there and go, what do you need a preemptive pardon for?
If he pardons people preemptively, he's essentially telling the public that these people have committed crimes. And we may not be aware of what they are, but the pardon is clear evidence that crimes have been committed.
I imagine if he decides to issue these preemptive pardons, it will be cast in a way that he is protecting his family and protecting their reputations from, you know, villainous exterior forces that are against him.
First off, we should just take a deep breath and acknowledge the audacity of a president who's so clearly concerned about his own criminal culpability and that of his family members that pardons are a major obsession with him.
The idea of a kind of prospective pardon, this sort of permanent federal get out of jail free card, that seems to be what we're talking about in the case of this, right, with Giuliani and his three eldest children, who, as far as we know, have not been convicted of a crime. Maybe they've committed a lot and they don't want to face action. I don't know. It's weird. I wouldn't ask for a pardon. I don't think I deserve one because I don't think I've done anything criminal. But like, where does that come from? That concept that you can just kind of wave your magic pardon wand.
We have Tish James. We have Xavier Becerra. Mimi Rocha is literally my DA in my town. There will be opportunities to prosecute these people regardless if they abuse the pardon power as they are thinking.
Hopefully, Ellie, there will be a skyfall on this entire crime family, and there will be another day for them to die.
The president does indeed pardon, let's say, Rudy Giuliani or any members of his family. Would you see that, and I asked Preet Bharara this question, as essentially an admission of guilt?
I certainly would view it that way. I think millions of Americans would view it that way. If there was no belief in criminality, why would he think a pardon was necessary?
CNN has learned President Biden will pardon his son, Hunter Biden.
Yes, now I remember why I didn't clip it. I despise that music.
Yeah,
I despise it. I despise it. Why? Just do the super clip. The super clip
is
good.
I don't get it either.
You don't need
guys,
the music.
They, you know, it's like these guys, everyone thinks they're a Hollywood producer.
Yeah. So Tina just texted me. So during that long clip, I went out and said, because she texted me, what? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Like, what did I do now? She says, you spent 6 Bitcoin on drugs. She's looking at her dowry going, dude, this guy's no good. I didn't know.
That's funny.
It was like $50 at the time. What did we now?
Now here we go with this is no music, but this is Biden talking about preemptive pardons himself in 2020.
Oh, goodness gracious, lovely.
President Trump is reportedly considering a wave of preemptive pardons. Does this concern you? All these preemptive pardons?
Well, it concerns me in terms of it, what kind of precedent it sets and how the rest of the world looks at us as a nation of laws and injustice. You're not going to see in our administration that kind of approach to pardons, nor are you going to see in our administration the approach to making policy by tweets. You know, it's just going to be a totally different way in which we approach the justice system.
Yeah, which brings me back to the theme of the show. The spell is broken. No one is buying the crap from the mainstream media anymore. And that includes Fox. We're bored of it. Well, we're not bored of it. Clearly, we still like some of that Fox stuff. But it's just, no, it's just, bleh, who cares? you know, and the algo chasers, it's all going to go by the wayside because people don't care. And this is another one, another spell that was broken. But, oh, we'll still report on it.
Was it just a graceless movement that was then repeated? Or was it a sign to the far right that I'm one of you? Or was it just enough controversy to make his speech go viral? Or was it none of the above? When Elon Musk spoke to the crowd in Washington at Donald Trump's inauguration, he thanked them. Yeah! And then he tapped the left side of his chest before raising...
I love that nat pop of Musk. That's great.
He thanked them. Yes! And then he tapped the left side of his chest before raising his right arm and extending it, palm down.
Thank you. My heart goes out to you.
The gesture goes by many names. The Roman salute, Sig Heil, the Nazi salute. A criminal offense in many nations, but not in the United States.
It's a criminal offense.
It's been a fascist gesture for over a century. Moments after Musk repeated his movement to the crowd behind him, the debate online went viral, with many not believing their eyes over what they'd just seen.
Oh,
historians
brother.
Of fascism wrote that there's no doubt about it, it was a belligerent salute. Others said it was a self-proclaimed autistic man awkwardly traipsing around. The Anti-Defamation League, or ADL, which was founded to combat anti-Semitism, said it was an awkward gesture in a moment of enthusiasm. Oh. But all sides should give one another a bit of grace.
That should tell you something if the ADL didn't jump on
it. I agree with
it.
That, but the other thing is there's a lot of clips showing everybody else doing this, by the way, but the one that was the closest to Musk is actually Tim Walz.
Yeah.
Who actually did the exact same move, pounded his chest,
yeah, and then
and sent his arm out. But the topper, I still think, is AOC. I have a clip.
Oh, you have a clip. Okay.
AOC, right. And just listen to her, the way she, you thought the Eagles woman was bad, ESGLES. Listen to this.
I, like, you're going to do a Sig Heil? You're going to do a Hail Hitler?
Sig Heil. Well, hold on a second.
Sig Heil.
Sig. No, Sig. You know, it's the guy, the Jewish, the butcher. Sig. Hey, Sig.
Hey, Siggy.
Sig Heil.
Is it with a Z or an S, Zig? Is it Zig?
S-I-G. Sig Heil.
Sig Heil. These people are dumb. Again, spell broken.
I, like, you're going to do a Sig Heil? You're going to do a Hail Hitler?
A Hail
or
Hitler.
Rebrand a Roman salute? From behind the presidential seal of the United States of America?
Woo!
It's on. It's on. And what is so important for us to understand is that as long as we don't give up, it's not over. It's not over. It is not over. Libs of TikTok started crying because I said over the weekend that Donald Trump is a rapist, and they went on Twitter and they went, oh, boo hoo hoo. And I said, basically, F you, cry more. I don't give a shit. Like, you want to support a rapist? That's on you. That's on you. But I don't. And they wanted to call in all of these threats into my office and all this other stuff. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn.
This is what is so interesting. I've noticed this more and more, is that the people who clearly do not like President Trump and therefore also dislike a majority of the country, they're resorting to cussing to an extreme.
The cussing is out of control.
They really are. It's just like, is that all you got? I mean, that's...
I mean, I have clips that I was... A number of these, you know, TikTok clips, even though a lot of them are on Reels, but I call them the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have these clips, and it's like they're so profane, and women mostly.
Yes, yes. I've noticed
it's
it.
Like,
I've noticed it.
It's like, oh, I can't use the clip. I mean, I could bleep it. I could, yeah. But, you know, you already gave me grief for a clip I played once. It was a little too much cussing, but this is out of control.
Well, grief because you didn't set it up. I mean, I don't mind it as long because it's just
women are, they're just profane, and they obviously, you know, talking about acting and sounding stupid besides Sig Heil. the F worded bombs are just, they can't come up with an adjective.
I have one quick 27-second clip of Lulu Garcia on CNN.
Elon Musk keeps on overshadowing Donald Trump. I mean, you had in the inauguration that it was the hand gesture, quote unquote, that is the subject of great mystery and debate. Yeah, the subject of great mystery and debate.
Are you talking about, you're not one of these salute truthers, are you?
No, what I'm, oh, is that what we're calling it now? All yes. I'm saying is, no, but come what I'm on, saying is it engendered a great debate. It took away from a night that was supposed to be about the president. And instead, what everyone talks about is Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk, Sig Hail, and Sanchez's boobs. That is what our media is obsessed with. But it's not just the media. Oh, no. Oh, no. In the Senate, Senator Murphy.
Oh, Murphy's the dumbest guy. He's just one notch above that woman from Hawaii.
What's her name again?
Yeah, what is it? Hiromi.
Hirona.
Joe.
So Joe. So he is going to question Elise Stefanik from New York as she is going through her confirmation process to be ambassador to the United Nations. The Honorable Miss Elise Stefanik. And he just goes all in on it.
What do you think of Elon Musk, perhaps the president's most visible advisor, doing two Heil Hitler salutes last night at the president's televised rally?
No, Elon Musk did not do those salutes. I was not at the rally, but I can tell you I've been at many rallies with Elon Musk, who loves to cheer when President Trump says we need to send our U.S. space program to Mars. Elon Musk is a visionary. I'm looking forward to his work in DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, and look forward to looking how we can be more efficient and effective. But that is simply not the case. And to say so is the American people are smart. They see through it. They support Elon Musk. We are proud to be the country of such successful entrepreneurs. That is one of our greatest strengths as Americans.
And one of our producers put together an entire list of reports of people being accused of doing a Sig Hail salute. And it's astounding how often this comes up.
Yeah, as even including AOC did it.
Oh, yeah. And so here's the follow-up to her answer, which was just fine. But no, we've got to obsess over it.
Let me share with you what a few Americans have said about it. Evan Kilgore, a right-wing political commentator, wrote on X, "Holy crap, did Elon Musk just Heil Hitler at the Trump inauguration rally? This is incredible. We are so back." Andrew Torba, who's the founder of the right-wing Christian nationalist social platform Gab, said incredible things are happening as he amplified the visual. The Proud Boys chapter in Ohio posted the clip on its Telegram channel with the text Heil Trump. A chapter of the white nationalist group White Lives Matter posted it on Telegram. Thanks for hearing us, Elon. The white flame will rise again. I could keep going over and over.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah. White supremacist groups and neo-Nazi groups in this country rallied around that visual. Does it concern you that those elements of the neo-Nazi and white supremacist element in the United States believe that what they saw last night was a neo-Nazi salute?
What concerns me is these are the questions you believe are most important to ask to the UN ambassador. Yes. I have a very strong record when it comes to combating anti-Semitism. We just had a historic election where President Trump earned historic support from American voters because of his strong leadership combating anti-Semitism, which has been a scourge across the country, skyrocketing since October 7th. So I intend to bring moral clarity to this position and continue to speak out as a voice, as a beacon of light, condemning anti-Semitism at the United Nations, which is representative of President Trump's record and President Trump's promises that he made on the campaign trail.
It's also pathetic. It really is. Does that Murphy guy really think that we're all in a tizzy and think that that's what Elon Musk was doing? He must be sincere about it.
Yeah, I think most of these people are pretty sincere.
It's pathetic.
Now, isn't, she's a Czech Italian.
What?
I'm looking at her. You think she's
Stefanik?
She's I think she's a Jew from background. I'm not mistaken, Stefanik.
I like how you say that.
Well, the way, I mean, I'm just looking at it because I'm saying this because she could throw it at him, saying, you know, don't you think?
She's Greek, apparently. According to the troll, she's Greek.
Stefanik, it says, well, okay, well, she's Greek here. I'm reading from her wiki page. She was born in Albany to Melanie and Kenneth Stefanik. Mm-hmm. She's, her father's ethnically Czech. Her mother's Italian. Genealogy shows her father's Polish. She comes from Western Galatia at the time of the Kingdom of Galatia. There's no Greek in her.
Well, it's just trolls.
So much for the chat room being
it's
accurate.
Just trolls. What do I know about the trolls? Oh, man. All right, I'm going to just play one more little one. Actually, I should mention this first because Sir Mark checked in with me about Panama. About the Panama Canal. He talked to a couple of his friends down there, lawyer friends, I should point out. They see Trump's remarks as a head scratcher. In spite of that, plenty of Panamanians like Trump. There are even some who think it could clean up corruption in the board running the canal, which is run by a few rich families, which brings me to a very interesting possibility. Now, this was Mark, who was very angry about Trump saying, you know, we're going to take it back.
Yeah, he was all bent out of shape.
Yes. 2 days
ago. He's giving you grief.
No, it's okay. Hey, this is Sir Mark. He has standing. 2 days ago, the comptroller of the government announced investigation into the two port facilities operated by Hutchinson Whampoa at either end of the canal. They are the ports under concession from the national government that Trump has said are, quote, illegally operated by soldiers from China. It appears from some announcements today that the comptroller has found that the Hong Kong-based multinational has not been paying all of its payments to Panama. I'm guessing that the concession has been breached and will be possibly canceled, allowing Panama to expel China from the canal, allowing Trump to claim a victory. And then he has a link to Financial Times. So, but you know, people have to understand, whatever comes out of President Trump's mouth is a negotiation. Everything, when he says $1 trillion for TikTok, we all know it's not worth $1 trillion. You know, he throws out the $500 billion, which is also way too much. But
yeah,
it's a negotiation. That's what he does. And I might add that there's a lot of MAGA hats on Greenland right now. I see video after video of these kids running around like, yeah, I want to be American. That sounds good. Sounds like a good deal. But in the European Parliament, well, here's the representative from Denmark.
Dear President Trump, listen very carefully. Greenland have been part of the Danish kingdom for 800 years. It's an integrated part of our country. It is not for sale. Let me put it in words you might understand. Mr. Trump, fuck off.
Again with the cussing.
What is with these people?
They have nothing left. I mean, you cuss when you don't
and
have any more
arguments.
And they're
always complaining and moaning and groaning about civility on the these damn Republicans are not civil. We want civility, and then they're cussing left and right like a truck driver.
I think it's universally agreed that when you cuss, and I've been very susceptible to this, is when you have no argument left. You have nothing. You have nothing intelligent to say, so you say something like that. Oh, shocking! So they're just out of arguments, don't you think?
I think they're afraid that they're going to lose Greenland.
No, they are. It's done deal. 51st.
I mean, they made it. Somebody in Denmark said, "Well, it's up to the Greenlanders."
That's
a mistake.
Whoops.
That was a dumb thing to say because the Greenlanders are going to vote for the USA in a minute compared to what they've been getting. They know what happens when we move into something like this. We throw money at it and waste money.
Give every Greenlander a Bitcoin. Perfect. There's only 56,000 of them. We got enough Bitcoin in the strategic reserve. And with that, I want to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C's in back in the closet. Say hello to my friend on the other end who just opened a Polar Spring or something like that. John C. DeMora!
I did not open the Polar Spring. That was grabbing the Thunderbox. In the morning to you, and in the morning I'll ship seaboots to the ground, feet in the air, subs in the water, dames and knights out there.
In the morning, in the drawer, let's count them. Here we go. A lot of noise going on here. We're low. 2191. Low. Isn't that low?
No, it's up 300.
Oh, it's high. It's great, everybody. I get confused. The problem is
unbelievable.
I don't know what day it is. That's my problem. I just know.
Yeah, well, that could be.
It's either a Thursday or a Sunday. I can't remember which day it is. I'm so engrossed in doing this show. I'm just following everything.
You know, the problem is I have the same issue. I don't know what day it is, generally speaking. But only since I started doing the show, because the show is offset. It's Thursday and Sunday, which is irrational. It's like, you know, it's not Wednesday. I mean, it's not like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
It's bad days. It's not a good
Monday,
day.
You know, it's not like Tuesday, Thursdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, something like that.
Yeah.
It's Thursdays and Sundays, which is the dumbest 2 days. Yeah. That you could possibly pick, but we're stuck with it.
It's what it is.
And so you can't. So that's, people don't understand. I have the same issue. I'll wake up in the morning thinking, wait a minute, do I have to do a show, a newsletter, or is this my day off, or do I have to do clips?
You'd think after 17 years we'd have it together, but
that's
no.
That's because it's because of the offset nature of
it. Yes.
It's impossible.
I hope people realize the severe sacrifice we make.
We're to our mental health.
Yes, we are out of sync with all time and dimension.
We're totally. That's what it creates. It creates an out of sync nature.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But we do it because it's a public service and it's clearly needed. It's clearly needed because the news is just.
It sucks. It stinks.
It's either
gaslighting. They're doing a lousy
you.
Job. They can't do their job. They're getting paid more than we are.
Yeah.
Especially the talking heads who don't even know anything. They just read from a script. They get paid millions in many cases.
Yes.
And they do. Yes, they're terrible at it.
Well, it's ending. Look at CNN. It's ending. It is ending.
Well, it's backing off, not ending.
Well, yeah, they're backing off. But it's,
CNN,
you know,
by the way, CNN says it's strategy now.
Yeah.
I was reading the trade yesterday.
What's the strategy? What trade? Vanity?
No, variety. It was in the Hollywood Reporter.
Oh, Hollywood Reporter. Oh, there you go.
Well, it's a trade.
It's
and
a trade.
And so going on and on about how, well, you know, we're rethinking, we're going to go digital. We're pushing toward digital, a subscription model.
Will they have a...
firewall.
A firewall. What's the other term? The plus, the package? No, what is it? What do we call it?
The plus.
No, but it's plus.
CNN plus.
But there was some other term. But that NPR's using. What was that?
Yeah, they're using
there's some term. There's some term like a plus package.
Well, it'll come back up in the conversation.
Premium.
But you have a bonus clip to play right away.
Oh, bonus clip, bonus clip, bonus clip. What's the bonus clip?
This is the wild...
bundle, but it's the plus bundle.
The bundle. It'll be a CNN bundle.
CNN bundle. Thank you, John M. Adams. Appreciate it. What's the bonus clip?
This is the plug for one of their podcasts, because they've been doing that as part of the bundle on NPR. And this is disgusting. Why would anybody, why do they encourage what we're about to hear?
On NPR's Wildcard podcast, comedian Michelle Buteau says she's glad she ignored the people who told her to lose weight.
I'm just going to show you what it looks like to love my body, my double chin, my extra rolls, okay? My buckets of thighs, sauce on the side, you can't afford it.
I'm Rachel Martin. Michelle Buteau is on the Wildcard podcast.
Woo, it's in the bundle. Is that in the bundle or is it out in the wild?
I think it's in the bundle, but the point is that how does this work with their Ozempic sponsors? They shouldn't even have that. That message should not be on there.
You know what? It's because they are oblivious. The people who make this stuff, this is why they have to fire 1,000 people. The people who are making the CNN content, they actually believe they're that good. What they don't realize, their only reason for existence is advertisers from big food, junk, crap.
This is NPR, which is the same. You're talking,
same thing,
you're talking
same
to
thing.
CNN, but I say NPR is the same.
Same thing. Because they're doing host-read ads now. Have you noticed that on NPR and the podcasts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have some low T guy that reads most of these ads?
Hi. Yes, Brooke Gladstone, the low T guy. Exactly. I hear Brooke doing them on the media. And she has to literally sit there and say, you know, you can get a free iPhone with your AT&T subscription. And I know she's hating it. She's like, oh, I can't believe I have to read this. And the disclaimer is, may not, you know, it's one of these deals where you get an upgrade for your iPhone whenever a new one comes out.
Yeah.
And then the disclaimer is, may not actually be available in the future, may not include a new iPhone. You think this could be completely bunk, but sign up for AT&T. And you just know she's sitting there hating it, which kind of gives me great joy in a sad, sick way. Because they're so pompous with your bundle. They really, so anyway, that's the problem. That's the problem with all these outfits. They don't realize that just because you're on cable, there's carriage fees. It's diminishing every single day. And of course, that is what will make our last 4 years on the air so enjoyable. We will be kicking them all the way down.
Beating the dead horse.
Beating them all the way down. Those exorbitant numbers of trolls are hanging out at trollroom.io. We also have noagenda.stream. Takes you to the same place. And you can listen live.
They've reloaded up today because of the Supreme Court coverage. I'm sure of it now.
Oh, I mean, I was telling people, why are you emailing me that you liked my coverage? Email John. And only one person that I know of did it.
I didn't get it.
Yeah, even worse. It was sent to you, I know, because I got a BCC. Okay. But, you know, people are like, I don't listen to John. It was great. It was riveting. I was on the edge of my seat. I loved it. And I'm like,
riveting.
And I'm like, you need to tell John this, not me. I know it was great. You got to tell John. By the way, for those of you who are listening at this moment, this is the secret bonus donation segment. People have no idea when they skip over. This is where the good stuff comes out. But we'll just leave that for those who don't know about it. So you can also listen and be alerted when we go live. And there's a lot of shows that go live on the No Agenda stream, but you can subscribe to the No Agenda show in a modern podcast app like Fountain, Podverse, Podcast Addict, Podcast Guru, all the podcasters at podcastapps.com. And not only will you get the bat signal when we go live, so you can listen live in the same app. You can't do that on Spotify. You can't do that on Apple. Can't do it on any other podcast app. This is these modern podcast apps. And as a bonus, the minute that we release the podcast, within 90 seconds, you're notified about it. So that is just some of the top line benefits, besides the fact that none of your podcasts will be deleted because they all talk to the podcast index, which is run and managed by yours truly with Dave Jones. So we are protecting free speech in that manner. We also will never get in trouble with advertisers because guess what? We don't have any advertisers. People think it's because I think it's for ideological reasons, but it's not really. We never wanted to have a meeting with advertisers. That was the main reason. That's always been the main reason.
That's ideological, seems to me.
Okay, that's ideological. Instead, we do it value for value. We created this whole concept, which has now been bastardized into Patreon and behind the firewall and premium and bundles. That is not value for value. Value for value is it's out here, it's free, it's full glory, all of its nakedness. It's here for you to consume and enjoy. However, whenever you want, share it, plug it anywhere, do whatever you want. All we ask is that whenever you feel you got value from the show, send it back to us with time, talent, or treasure. And we always...
Right, and the thing is, if you are a value-for-value promoter, in other words, if you're like a podcast that does this sort of thing, yeah, and all of a sudden everything dries up and you feel obliged to get advertising, then you should change your model.
Yes, exactly. By the way, for all those people who were so interested in local podcasts, because I only mentioned it once or maybe twice, and I had to write up a page, it's hyperlocalpodcast.com, so people could get started. There is a new opportunity that I think is overlooked. And you could actually, it wouldn't even matter what you said in your podcast. You could have a very successful local podcast that I truly believe people will support with value for value. Byron Allen, who I respect as a media guy.
And, I think Byron Allen is a genius.
Yes.
And I followed his career since he began with his lousy little productions that he used to do like 30 years ago that were just these little, you know, he did talk shows and he's a comedian, actually, a stand-up that was not that successful.
He wasn't great at stand-up. He's much better at the media stuff.
But he was, and he just kept building and building and honing his skills, and now he's like a really important billionaire in media.
And I like him even more because he has left a gaping hole in the landscape that anybody can walk into. He just finalized his purchase of the Weather Channel for $300 million. First thing he does, fired all the local weather people. I guarantee you, I run a little local stream here for Fredericksburg. It's called HelloFred.fm.
Hello, Fred.
HelloFred.fm. And there's all kinds of stuff on it, mainly music, but all kinds of stuff. And without fail, the number one thing people like is I have a segment, which, you know, I recorded all of these individual drops and the software picks up based upon the right temperature. I say, it's 45 degrees on Main Street in Fred. Everybody loves that. They think that's the best thing, which is kind of sad, but they think that's the best.
Pathetic.
I'm doing so much work, but they love that part. If you did a local weather report based on your you can go to the airport website that's near you. There's tons of little regional, smaller airports. They give you a very accurate, they'll translate the weather information into English for you. If you just recorded that, you would have a successful local podcast and you can build from there. People love the local weather. They love it. And as much as I think Byron Allen's a genius, he just left a gaping hole. So that is your tip of the day for me, an early tip of the day.
So, but Byron Allen is not a podcaster.
No, he's not. No, he's a big media mogul.
He's a broadcasting guy.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. Now, one of the ways people support us is by creating album art. And the album art that we chose for episode 1731, title of the show was Cyber Time Bombs, was by far the most polarizing choice we have made in a long time, years and years and years. And it came from several directions. Most people thought this was the best art we ever had. They're getting t-shirts made. They're getting mugs made. They think it's outstanding. Artists who do not use artificial intelligence are heartbroken, downtrodden, and outright sad. I mean, I got just heart-wrenching emails.
Like, oh, please.
Yes, yes.
These poor sensitive artists. Well, you know, artists are sensitive. That's why they're artists.
But I, and so, of course,
I got no notes on this, by the way.
No one
not
emailed. No
Nari
one.
Can, a one.
They can't spell Dvorak. They spell it E-G-L-E-E-L-G-S.
Yes.
That's how you spell Dvorak. But the exception proved the rule, where we typically say, do not use our faces. Now, this was not our faces. But we realized that we were breaking our own quote-unquote unwritten rule by choosing Walter and Stettler, the Muppets. This was, whatever AI did this from Corrector Record, who we'll credit with the art, really used the tool correctly. And I just want to hearken back. I think you will remember. We had the same conversation of, it's not fair, this is not right, when people started using Photoshop, when people started using clip art, which they licensed. And I mean, you don't hear anyone talking about that anymore. And it's the same conversation I've heard in media throughout my entire life when samples came along. Oh, it's not fair. It's not even music. This is just the natural progression. I personally...
Wow, you're caving.
No, this is where I'm about to retract here. So I give a little and I come back. I personally find it sad that artists are giving up, that they don't want to create art anymore. Please note that we still use art for many different things besides just the album art, including the chapters that Dreb Scott puts together, which you can see in the modern podcast.
I think we should harken back to the picture of the bird and that is done by the five-year-old for the mom sent it in, if you remember that art.
Yeah, it was the right piece at the right time.
Crayon art.
Yeah, but what happens is they feel that they've put all this time into it, And for some, I mean, John, some of these notes are like, this was my moment for myself, working on the art for the show. I tell my kids and my wife to leave me alone for 2 hours so I can really work on it. And they feel ripped off. And I understand it. But this is the best for the show. It hurts me too. I feel you, artist. I feel you. I can't draw a straight line. I feel your pain. But I think that if you have the right concepts, which is very hard to, 95% of all this AI art sucks because it's not the right concept. That is something that no tool can take away. Your God-given talent and insight towards what you want to create. Why are you laughing at me?
Because you're now catering to the whining artists.
I love the whining artists. I love the starving. We're starving artists. What are you talking about?
I have mixed feelings about what you're doing.
Well, then
you're encouraging the artists need the harsh reality. They snap out of it. That's what I'd say. Snap out of it. Get back to work.
Well, I'm kind of saying the same thing. I'm saying that no matter what you do, if you have the insight, if you have that creative thing in you, use the tools. I'm sad.
Well, this actually may be good. In this case, you might actually be encouraging them to at least feel around with the tools. I mean, Darren O'Neill is the best example of
this.
And
he has zero actual talent for anything. But wait.
See, then now you no, we wait. Know that's not that you don't feel that way. But the point is that Darren is not like a fine artist. He's not a guy with it. He's not doing oil paintings on the weekends. I mean, maybe he is, but I don't, not that I know
what
of.
What do you know?
It's possible, but I doubt it. But what he's done is he's gone into these systems and he said, what can these systems do for me in so far as the show is concerned? And he started creating with them. And it's remarkable.
It is remarkable.
And the Statler and Waldorf thing is just amazing. And so it's like, if you can get this kind of production, which doesn't take, I mean, it probably takes as much time because you got to do this and that. I've only used these things a few times. I haven't gotten to the point where I can do a good piece of art like that thing. I don't know how that was done. But artists need, it's just like when the artists first went to Photoshop, they were reluctant at first.
That's what I said.
A good friend of mine, Ned Shaw, is a very famous airbrush artist in the Midwest he's got tons of material that was used by Business Week, all the big publications. And he was doing some work for PC Magazine. I got to be friends with him. And I got him turned on to Photoshop. And he found it to be early.
Yeah.
So he was like an early Photoshop guy, and he was doing twice the business he used to do.
I would have to say that Correct the Record, who has done art for a long time, he is one of the few who has said, all right, I'm going to take my phenomenal insight and I'm going to apply it with these tools. Because let's just go take a look at what Correct the Record has done. I mean, I think he has done many non-AI images.
Oh yeah, in the past.
Yeah, but I'm just looking at it now. There's tons of stuff he's done that was Photoshop. The Shady Bunch. No Agenda Monopoly.
The point is that these tools have to be used. Use the tools or die. That's all there is to it.
Use
the tools or die. You can't get around it.
Yeah, it's like that would be me, like using a reel-to-reel and a razor blade to edit anything like the beginning of the show. And there you go.
That's perfect example. Those days are over.
Yes, and it took me a bit to get used to using digital nonlinear editing. Took me a bit. I'm like, well, this is odd. Couldn't quite get the vibe, but you know, I have the insight as to what I want to create. So anyway, and yes, of course, it's all theft. What can you do?
But art is basically theft anyway.
Well, now you're going down a whole nother rabbit hole. So let's take a look at other AI-generated slop that was out there, which I'm, of course, fine with. Because eventually, oh, and I should point this out, eventually the AI will no longer produce such spectacular results because it is now eating its own output.
Yeah, not if you lock it down. You can lock it down.
Entropy is entering, and it's going to be slop, and everything will be horrible, and then we'll need real artists again. Don't worry.
Don't listen to him.
Don't listen to me. All right. Was there anything else that we liked? Let me see. There was. Now
that piece was so interesting that it was really hard to find anything else that was close.
I kind of like the single line Trump by Matt Boisvert. We didn't really talk about it because we saw I advocated for the Waldorf and Statler. I was like, this is so good. Tante Neal did a fire aid, which was the right idea, but execution, it was flat. It was too flat. Does that make sense? Is that the correct?
Non-dimensional is what I'd say.
Non-dimensional. Yeah. Right idea though. Right idea. Let me see. Was there anything?
No,
else?
There's nothing.
No. I thought Comic Strip Bloggers, Dana Brunetti, produced by Dana Brunetti, was funny, but very poorly executed.
Well, not usable.
Unusable.
We're not putting Dana Brunetti on the art.
A guy already gets way too much props from us.
We'll take that piece of art though and put it on a mug and send it to him. I'll do that.
It's the ugliest piece of art ever. Oh, that's funny. All right, now we want to thank the producers who supported us with treasure. We thank everybody, $50 and above. And here's the deal. If you donate $200 or above, we do a couple of things for you. One, $200 above, you're an associate executive producer of this episode, and you get that credit, which is good for your lifetime, is a real Hollywood credit. We'll vouch for you if anyone ever questions that, and you can use it anywhere that credits are recognized, including IMDb. And we will read your note. Within reason, I see some very long notes here today, $300 and above, we give you the title of executive producer of the episode, in this case, 1732, and we will read your note. So we start with Amber McGrath from Austin, Texas, right down the road. And she says, for $1,000, thank you very much, Amber. She says, I just met mutual friend Nick Pizzolatto. Oh, that's right. I saw your name on the guest list of his wife's birthday party and got so excited to meet you. Unfortunately, you weren't there. My husband and I live in Lakeway and are big fans. So Nick Pizzolatto is
married. Wait a minute. You were on the, you RSVP that you were going to show up. Let me get this straight.
No, we did not.
Amber McGrath saw your name on the RSVP list and you stiffed her.
No. This is not what happened. It was an email that went out, a text message that went out. And I think everybody's name who was invited was on the text message, but it was last Thursday. So I can't
You can't do anything on Thursday.
I can't make it after the show to get from here to Austin
for a
birthday party. And Nick,
can't be done.
But Nick Pizzolatto, he's like a big Hollywood dude. He's the guy behind True Detective.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
he should have gone.
Yeah. All right, I should have just canceled the show and gone to the birthday party.
No, you could have just gone, showed up. Hey, do what I do. Show up at the end.
Show up with screeching tires and walk in and say, hey, you got a TV, the game's on. Yeah, I could have done that.
I do that too, but yes. Beside the point.
Well, thank you very much, Amber. I'm sure there will be future birthday parties and gatherings with Pizzolatto and his lovely wife, Suzanne, and I look forward to seeing you there. So thank you very much. And thank you for, and she didn't ask for a daming or a knighting or anything, as far as I can tell. Is there anything?
No, she can do that later.
If you want to, we're happy to take care of you.
You're going to have to read the next one because it's so long. And by the way, Jay sent the original. She cut this down by about a third of what it was. It was charts and everything. It was some good stock tips. And
yes, it's Sir Angel of Smyrna with $1,000. And he says, I am writing as an Instanite and I'm looking forward to my introduction to the Noah Jenner Roundtable as Sir Angel of Smyrna. So he will be Sir Angel. Sir Bartholomew of Smyrna. If the first is taken, no, you're going to be Sir Angel. I've been listening off and on mostly since 2009. I've never donated. I'm sorry for that, but I hope this makes up for it. Well, of course it does. I have a very long message to share, so I'm sure it won't be able to be shared in full on your show, but if there's any group of skeptics who might appreciate what I have to say, I would think it would be your audience. You might need to run this one by your Wall Street banker friend as well. If you have any ideas how I could best share the story in full with your audience, I would appreciate the guidance. Yes, write it up on a Substack, and we'll tell people to go check it out. But in summary, I spent the last 3 years developing a theory based on the stock market that I think helps explain so much of what you two discuss on the show. This is crazy. The guy's making money based upon what we talk about on the show. He calls it the theory 666, and it details how the Federal Reserve appears to be overtly influencing market direction, specifically the S&P 500, in conjunction with broader consortium of actors that are orchestrating events in the world around us. Theremin.
Sounds like the show Rubicon.
Yes. I hope you can give it an open-minded read through, and I would appreciate any feedback you have. Yes. The feedback I have, future Sir Angel Smyrna, is write this stuff on the Substack. People will subscribe to you. You'll make money by people subscribing to your theories.
I agree.
Because it's good. It's very good.
When you get the really good ones, send them to us first.
First.
So we have it, so we can get.
Please. All right. And thank you. We will be knighting you in short order.
Next, Dame Catherine, our buddy in Thailand.
Yes. The Bitcoin billionaire.
Yeah, she's the Catherine, the crypto granny of Bangkok, she likes to call herself. Because you're the best, and I appreciate all that you do. I sent you $1,000 through Swipe, which is Stripe, but you renamed it.
Okay.
Because it wasn't PayPal. I just checked my bank account. You only received $974.19 or something. Okay, I'm pissed. No more dollars, Bitcoin only. There's other ways. There's Wise. You can do that. There's
we can get a Strike account, a Strike account. This is new.
We're working. Dame Catherine sends us once a year. So
yeah, but there's lots of people who want to send. They want the 6 Bitcoin I spent on Silk Road. They want to send it to us. They can't.
Well, I would hope so. That would be good. Okay, well, send me the details. I'm not a reconstructed. No, she says I'm not a reconstituted hippie. Now, the word I use constantly is reconstructed.
Yes.
Reconstructed hippie. But she makes it sound like I'm talking about milk. Reconstituted hippie, or maybe orange juice. I don't know what she's thinking.
I don't know.
I'm a full-blown homegrown, this is who I am hippie.
Okay.
Flower child to you.
No, nice.
She says.
That's great.
$1,000. Thank you.
I love the crypto granny of Bangkok. Thank you very much. Papa Mateo is in Sunset, South Carolina. And sends us $400.15 and attached a note. Dear John and Adam, holy shit, only 28 donations over $50 for show 1729. That number got me off my ass to write a check. The extra 15 cents is for check cashing fees. I think appreciate that.
Yes, the checks, when you get to X number of checks, they charge you 15 cents. It's a big difference between 15 cents if
anything else, yes.
And $30, whatever it is.
My son hit me in the mouth about a year and a half ago, and I haven't missed a show since. I've given once before, so please make this a switcheroo to dedouche my son, Andy.
You've been dedouched.
And, I see an extra note here. He says, climate change is a power grab. Okay. And then he says, Papa Mateo, Sunset, South Carolina, for Andy, please plug the Bitcoin bit. I think he means this.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
So I'm making this Andy Mateo now because he said it was a switcheroo. So, right?
You have to read the next note, too.
Oh, goodness gracious. What is this? You don't have a monitor big enough? What's the problem?
But I don't have the 40-inch monitor that you have to read these notes. I wish these people, come on, people.
Write shorter notes. Big Boss Rob Jordan, McLean, Virginia. Spooksville.
Oh.
350.
Well, what did he get? 350.93.
He says, this donation is 333.33 plus the fees in honor of my smoking hot wife's birthday on January 23rd. It's a show day. To Rebecca Ann Skeel Jordan, I say, you are the best thing that has ever happened to me. I feel so lucky to have such a wonderful and caring woman in my life. And our boys are incredibly blessed with you as their mother. Now, Becky has donated to the show in my birthday honor twice, first in 2020 during the Koof Madness, and again in October to attain the moniker Commodore Big Boss Rob Jordan. So please deduce me for finally getting off my butt to donate in her honor.
You've been deduced.
And he says, I didn't have this one ready. I think I have it here. There we go. And please send some baby girl birthing karma our way, as Becky is now 8 months pregnant with our third human resource. Another boy would be great, but we're hoping for a girl. Well, you know, when we hand out the karma, you have to name the kid after us. One way or the other, it's John Charles or Adam Clark. You can make it John Clark or Adam Charles. Either way is fine. This show provides incalculable value to us by providing clarity and sanity via your excellent deconstruction of the M5M's lies and misdirection.
A quick
shout out to the Grimerica boys and to the Snake Brothers podcast, where I first heard about No Agenda in 2018. Everybody should check out these shows. And he ends with a PS there and a love is lit. So here is the karma you requested.
You've got karma.
Oh, we need a jingle for this one. We need a jingle for this one.
Do you have a Grand Deuce Nussbaum? There you go.
Yes.
Grand Duke Nussbaum comes in from Virginia Beach, Virginia, 35093, which is 333 plus fees. On December 21st, 2024, I entered rehab in Atlanta.
Wow.
So 33 days later is today.
That's
a
right.
Show day. Coincidence? I think not. Thank you, John and Adam, and the whole No Agenda family.
Congratulations, brother. That's good.
No
news.
Backstory, but we'll take him. Okay.
Well, he was a drinker.
Was he?
Yes, I've always noticed that. He was always posting him with a drink on Twitter.
Huh.
I didn't know that it was a problem, but he did, and he took action, and I'm proud of you, brother. Congratulations. We should have a No Agenda 33-day chip. You deserve it. And keep at it, brother. Keep at it. Dominique Dumas is in Quebec, Canada. Baie-Comeau? It's the French part.
Corno, it looks like.
Well, it says.
No, it's Como. You're Como. Right.
Thank you for your time. From Chinada. Jingle request. Due to climate change, they're eating the dogs, and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
Due to climate change.
They're eating the dogs.
They're saying that all hell is going to break loose, and you're going to need a Bitcoin.
Onward with the Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility, 33333. And he sent in a note. Handwritten. ITM boys, please try and enclose my January donation of 333.33. Love the show. Keeping it short. Sincerely, Sir Pursuit of Peace and Tranquility, Earl of the Lands of the Red Clay and Cherry Trees.
Hmm. Okay. Where is that, I wonder? Well, Taylor Bradshaw is in Evergreen, Colorado, sends us $250 as the first associate executive producer. That's a forever title you get to keep. And he says, thank you for the amygdala therapy. Boom. Short, sweet, and to the point. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so is Gary Macy, $233.99, when his note says, this is the kind of note we like. Short and sweet.
Gary, can't be topped. Good work. Laurens de Coaster. From Heist op den Berg in Belgium, $233.99. Hi, John and Adam. Love the show. Love you guys. No jingles, no karma. Greetings from Itegem, Belgium. Met vriendelijke groeten, Laurens de Coaster. Perfect. Thank you.
Dame Jessica in Havre, Montana, of all places. $223.45. Please credit my donation. This is a switcheroo. Doesn't say it, but it is. Please credit my donation to my amazing husband, Sir Bad Potato.
He's a bad potato.
$123.45 in celebration of his 45th trip around the sun on January. He's on the list. The rest is to just make you read the note. Please give him a biscuit on my birthday jingle and a goat karma. Signed, Dame Jessica of the Bear Paws. I don't spew profanities. I enunciate then them. Oh, I don't spew profanities. I enunciate them properly like a lady.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday. You've got karma.
We go to Port Orange, Florida for 202.02, John Soltis, and he says, the best podcast in the universe, Ducks in a Pond. Call out Stephen Edward Lehman as a perpetual douchebag.
Douchebag.
Thank you for your courage. Oh, I missed these jingles he requested. Thank you for your courage. He wants chemtrails. Okay, sorry, I messed that one up.
I think it's Lehman.
I'm sorry? Is it Lehman? What did I say?
I think
Lehman?
So, Ellie.
Well, it was Lehman Brothers.
Oh, you're probably right. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, not to be horrible about it, but okay, it could be Layman. Chemtrails, Space Force, and R2-D2.
Chemtrails.
Space Force.
You've got karma.
Here comes Eli the Coffee Guy. He's in Bensonville, Illinois, 20123, and he says, the pardons are flying. My question is, why did Biden give Fauci and Hunter blanket pardons going back to 2014?
Well,
what happened then? Question mark.
Gee. Oh, I see. Oh, he answers the question. Why?
Yes, the offshoring of gain of function research. Maybe Hunter doing some hinky things in Ukraine when Joe is VP. Well, don't look over there. Trump pardoned a goofball in the Viking helmet and the rest of those who sparked an erection on the Capitol. Well, no J6 riot this year, but for those still in need of stimulation, visit gigawattcoffeeroasters.com. Use the code ITM for 20% off your first order. Stay caffeinated, says Eli the Coffee Guy.
And 201 comes from Binghamton, New York, from Paul Kroshulik. And he gave me pronunciation, Kroshulik. Got it. Thanks, Paul.
Kroshulik. Linda Lupatkin's up. She's in Lakewood, Colorado with $200, and she wants some jobs karma and says for a resume that your resume that gets results, use imagemakersinc.com for your go-to resume executive resume needs and job search needs. That's Imagemakers Inc. with a K. And work with Linda Lou and Mad Living most of this. Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs, and writer of resumes. Jobs, all right.
Jobs, jobs, and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Okay, from the troll room, it's pronounced Haver, not Havery. And apparently.
I said Havra. I said Havra.
What's Haver?
I didn't say Havery.
It's Haver. It's Haver. It's Haver.
Haver. Yeah, I figured it was some stupid pronunciation.
Apparently, a new executive order just dropped. We got to say dropped. It dropped.
Pick it up.
To release the JFK, RFK, and MLK files. That should be fun. Alex Jones is back in business, baby.
He is.
Gotta love him for it. Yeah,
they finally, it took him this long. You have to give him credit. It took the CIA this long to fix those files and make the new files look like the old files so it satisfies everybody's desire to see these phony files that will be coming out. Come on, they're going to be phony.
I got some insider news about that guy with the video. As you posited. As you posited, indeed, a sketchy character. The timing was very suspicious. And that's all I can say without exposing my source. So it sounds like that was kind of off. But here it is, declassification of records concerning the assassinations of President John F. Kennedy, Senator Robert R. F. Kennedy, and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said, and here it is. When is it coming out? It should be, is he doing it immediately? Wow, there's a lot here. This is within 45 days of the date, they get another 45 days to Photoshop it.
to make sure that the ink is carbon dated correctly.
Oh, hey, promises made, promises kept. There you go. Thank you very much to our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1732. We appreciate you very much. These are the credits that you get to keep forever as a token of our appreciation. Of course, we'll be thanking everybody $50 and above in our second segment. Thank you for supporting the best podcast in the universe.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
They're eating the dogs.
I like these drops. I like these presidential order drops. I like drops. It. These drops. It's great drops, man. It's great.
I have my last of the series, I think, but I could be wrong, of the DeLulu clips.
Oh, goodness.
It hasn't ended.
Wait a minute. They're still trying to prove that Trump will not be president?
This one is, I misspelled talk and made it T-O-L. This is the post-DeLulu winner.
Oh, goodness.
What if, and stick with me here, what if they needed him to think that he was president for like a second, and they needed him to think that he was president for a second so that he would think that he got away with it? And if he thinks that he got away with it, he would show who he really is. Because the way I see it, is we didn't elect DJT. We elected Mr. Pew Pew and our country. And I think, based on how they've been talking and acting and just behaving lately, I think our leaders know that. And they understand what's gonna happen or what would happen. And I don't think that they are going to willingly hand us over on a silver platter.
You have to stop now with these. This is done. This is burnt.
Come on.
Stick a fork
these
in it.
These guys are great.
I have the psychotic beat.
I get to find the nutballs, the screwballs, the head cases that are just out there.
Look no further than CNN, please. By the way, here it is, just dropped. Strengthening American leadership in digital financial technology. I will read.
Is this new? I mean, I thought he already did his 200.
No. This is dropping now, baby. Drop. Protecting the promoting the ability of individual citizens and private sector entities alike to access and use for lawful purposes open public blockchain networks without persecution, including the ability to develop and deploy software to participate in mining and validating to transact with other persons without unlawful censorship and to maintain self-custody digital assets. That's a big deal. And here's my favorite. Promoting and protecting the sovereignty of the United States dollar, including through actions to promote the development and growth of lawful and legitimate dollar-backed stable coins worldwide. Told you, it's happening. Stable coins. And of course, Bitcoin immediately dropped. Okay, there we go. It did. It went from 105,000 to 103. Maybe they're still processing there's a lot in here. Stable coins, baby. That's what it's going to be. I'm telling you, he has something figured out. We just don't understand it yet.
Yeah, or not.
Or not, but maybe. I have great trust in our president.
Well, while you go on with these drops, which I guess are going to go out throughout the show, I have one more. This is not a talk clip, but a real clip.
Oh, okay. An insane clip from real people, not on TikTok?
It's from Reels, whatever, you know. It's just which is worse. Now, this is the golf cart girl.
It's the same. Oh, the golf cart girl.
Have you heard this one?
I saw the video. Okay, everybody, if it wasn't bad enough.
Here we go.
Monday was a super tough day to be a woman, and not for the reasons you think, like not for the obvious reason, not because of Melania's hat, not because Laura Sanchez showed everyone in the greater Washington area her nipples. No, it was the woman driving the golf cart at the national championship. If you didn't see it, there's a video of a woman driving a golf cart with the quarterback and the head coach of the Ohio State football team. They just won the national championship. And she drove that golf cart straight into a wall. I saw that video and I was like, we're worried about our right to choose. They're going to take away our driver's license. They're going to take away our right to drive. That video really put into context why people won't vote for women for president and why they won't let us be in charge. Women, we're down bad. We're down real bad right now, and we need to get our bag up. We need to know how to drive a golf cart. Tough.
Get your bag up. Okay.
Get your bag up. We got to start using that phrase.
That clip doesn't work without the video.
On his first full day.
That clip doesn't work without the video. It really doesn't. You've got to see the woman banging the cart into the wall, not once, not twice, but three times. Is baffling. All right.
Works fine without the video.
Let's go back to some serious stuff, kind of serious, as we have always said that we know who the new enemy is. It's not going to be Russia. It, of course, is China. And there's Marco.
On his first full day as U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio met with his counterparts from Japan, India, and Australia. A group known as the Quad. The grouping of the four countries has been seen by many as an initiative to counter or at least slow China's increasing assertiveness in the region. Rubio is known for his hardline stance against China, and the timing of the meeting suggests combating China's influence will remain a top priority for Trump and his chief diplomat.
So help you God.
After his confirmation, Rubio stressed that he will execute President Trump's America First mantra in his foreign policy.
In our republic, the voters decide the course of our nation, both domestically and abroad. And they have elected Donald J. Trump as our president when it comes to foreign policy on a very clear mission. And that mission is to ensure that our foreign policy is centered on one thing, and that is the advancement of our national interest, which they have clearly defined through his campaign as anything that makes us stronger, or safer, or more prosperous.
But just as Donald Trump brings his more unilateralist approach against China back to the White House, China is also seeking to improve relations with U.S. allies. From China's point of view, improving relations with countries like Japan and India and increasing economic cooperation will offset the shock to China-U.S. economic relations.
What I haven't seen in, and I'm expecting an executive order or some kind of policy document, the president talked about the Iron Dome again in one of his speeches. I'm waiting for that, because that's the boon. That's the boondoggle right there.
Iron Dome. That's a money way. There's a money sink.
The Iron Dome all over America? Oh, yeah. That's great.
That'll be the day.
You can put a silo here on my land. That's fine. That's good. Everyone's going to make money off of that one. It's going to be dynamite.
No, there hasn't been a lot of talk about that.
No, but he mentioned it in one of the that guy is amazing. You just got to give him some props at his age.
You know, that brings to mind I don't have a clip, but I wish I had it. I should have gotten it when I saw it. Ann Coulter made just a strange comment. She was on a podcast. She's kind of been, if you haven't noticed, she's been pushed aside.
Yeah.
She's not in the whatever.
She's done.
Well, she still writes books and she still shows up. But this was like a comedy podcast with a bunch of these goofballs, and she's talking about this and that. Mm-hmm. And about how she got into a big beef with, and she hated Trump for a while because she liked him in 2015, 2016. She got into an argument, a shouting match with him, I guess, in 2017 about him not finishing the wall. And then she was expunged, and that was the end of her. And we haven't really heard much of her since.
She was expunged. I like that too. My email client still has an expunge button.
Expunge. I
like expunge. Yes, expunge.
And so she's made this comment about. She just said casually, she says, "You know, I've been following this guy." And she's back on board. She's now because they were grilling her about the fact that she hated him. She didn't like Trump anymore, and now she likes him again after he got reelected. She thought it was great for the country. But she made this comment. She said, she explained this argument she got into, and she said he wasn't going to do this, and he wasn't going to do that. And then she says, "You know, I think basically he's lazy."
No, oh, now that'll get you on podcast real quick.
And so I was thinking about it because he talks a lot. He's yakking around. He goes from ball to ball to ball, and you're right. He's got energy that seems like it's, you know, unburdened by what has been, goes nuts with his showing up everywhere and doesn't get a lot of sleep, I guess. But is it possible that she nails this, that he might actually be lazy? I mean, why would you let John Bolton into your administration late in the game, for example?
Wait, but stop. I have a clip. He explains why he had John Bolton in the game and why he has revoked John Bolton's security team.
Why did you remove John Bolton's security clearance, sir?
Because I think that was enough time. It's we take a job.
Security clearance, I'm sorry.
You take a job, you want to do a job. We're not going to have security on people for the rest of their lives. Why should we?
No, it was the security team. Bolton and Pompeo both had their security team
right,
removed.
But the question is about security clearance. He answers.
No, I think he said team.
Why did they remove John Bolton's security clearance, sir?
Clearance.
Okay, you're right. Clearance. He asked about clearance,
but
he talked about
he team. Answers about the team, yes.
I think that was enough time. We take a job.
Oh, you misunderstood.
You take a job, you want to do a job. We're not going to have security on people for the rest of their lives. Why should we? I thought he was a very dumb person, but I used him well because every time people saw me come into a meeting with John Bolton standing behind me, they thought that he'd attack them because he was a warmonger. He's the one that got us involved, along with Cheney and a couple of others, convinced Bush, which was a terrible decision, to blow up the Middle East. You know, we blew up the Middle East and we left. We got nothing out of it except a lot of death. We killed a lot of people, and John Bolton was, one of those guys, a stupid guy. But no, you can't have that for life. You shouldn't expect it for life.
Whether true or not, great answer. I used them because people were afraid when they saw him. Oh, Bolton's here. We're going to get blowed up. Yeah. I don't think he's lazy. I don't. I mean, I just put it out there.
I don't know if he's lazy or not.
No,
but
you go take the side of Ann Coulter. Go ahead. That's great. That's a winning team. Ann Coulter can't even get on Bill Maher's show anymore. You're right. She has been expunged.
She's been expunged. And Bill Maher had a crush on her. He'd bring her on all the time.
Yeah. What was that about?
I don't know.
There was another, I don't know if this made any big headlines, but besides Masa-san standing, that was so funny. Did you see Masa-san standing on the stool at that press conference?
I didn't see him standing on the stool. He's short.
It was a hilarious moment.
He's about five. I met him, so it's like he is...
5 feet. 5 feet, if an inch.
No. He's taller than that. He's about 5'5", I'm guessing.
Well, next to Joe Ellison and Trump, and even Altman he's not super tall. And so they had the lectern set up.
Apple crate.
No, Trump got an actual stool, and then Masa-san stood on the stool. It was a funny moment. It was good. So besides the $500 billion from him, we've got these guys.
Saudi Arabia's crown prince said that the kingdom wants to invest $600 billion in the United States over the next 4 years, and potentially beyond that. The remarks from Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman came after a phone call with recently inaugurated U.S. President Donald Trump. And after Trump mused about returning to Saudi Arabia as his first foreign trip back in office. There was no immediate response from the White House regarding the call. It also wasn't clear whether Trump's call with the Crown Prince was his first with a foreign leader since returning to the Oval Office. The billion-dollar pledge, which dwarfs the gross domestic product of many nations, comes as the kingdom faces budgetary pressures of its own. Global oil prices remain depressed years after the height of the coronavirus pandemic, affecting the kingdom's revenues. In recent years, the U.S. has increasingly pulled away from relying on Saudi oil exports, which was once the bedrock of their relationship for decades.
Well, there you go. MBS, the killer. We're taking money from the murderer.
We'll see. They're getting carried away with this bull crap. That amounts to with Son and this guy's have over $1 trillion, I don't think. But we're going to invest.
All I know is we're going to get half a trillion from the sale of TikTok.
can't all, these numbers are ludicrous.
I can't wait for that. Meanwhile, real problems back at home. This affects you as it affects me, as it affects many who have listened to this program and have taken our shopping advice.
Breaking overnight, Costco employees are now threatening to go on strike. They could hit the picket lines at the end of the month. The Teamsters Union, that represents more than 18,000 Costco workers nationwide, says its members voted to authorize a strike over pay and benefits. The wholesale giant has not yet responded to the vote. The current contract is set to expire January 31st, a week from this Friday.
Wow, I thought Costco people were generally happy.
I thought so, too. I'm not sure what's going on here. I followed this a little bit.
I would be very sad if they wouldn't. I would support them because I like the Costco people. They're always very friendly. Always give you free snacks. You ever eat the free snacks?
Oh, yeah.
The snacks are good.
Friday is the day to do that, by the way.
Friday is snack day?
Friday, it's like they have snacks all the time.
Yeah.
But on Friday, if you're hungry, go to Costco. They are loaded. Every aisle's got somebody giving something away.
It's Costco happy hour.
You can actually be picky. No, I don't think so. Too much starch.
I love how people do that. Like, this is great. Then you have to kind of make that, but I'm not going to buy it move. You're like, yeah, this is good. Oh, this is fantastic. Okay. They're right over here, sir.
Megan, we just keep going. You know, there's some, like,
I feel guilty. It's like, I just ate the free food and I don't want to buy it.
Oh, please. Give you 2 cents worth of food. You're supposed to buy something. Forget it. So Jay won't even touch the food.
Why not?
She thinks it's, I don't know. She's got all kinds of issues. Idiosyncrasies. One of them is, I don't know, if they're giving it away, it must be toxic or something. I don't know what she's thinking. She won't touch it.
That's a good one.
I mean, I'm trying all this stuff. Oh, that's interesting. Actually, every once in a while, you run into something, you go, wow, pretty good.
Yeah, we had that with the, although it was horrible product. What is it called? The egg bites?
Oh, egg bites. Oh, you like those?
Well, yeah, I like them.
I never try. I honestly haven't tried them. Well, but it's just
how can you go egg bites if you've never tried
them? Because
it's
disgusting, the idea of a isn't it just a hard, somebody else hard boiling an egg for you?
I mean, it's just like, no, do you even know what an egg bite is? No, you don't.
I'm completely clueless.
Yes, it's more like a very light souffle of egg that has been put into a cupcake form, and then it's like an egg cupcake. But very, very.
Oh, that sounds great.
Show my school by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fabulous. Yeah, on No Agenda.
Hey, quick, somebody, take a look and see if there's egg bites in the TooManyEggs.com book. I'll bet you there's an egg bite recipe in there.
Free PDF. Go to TooManyEggs.com. Yeah, free PDF for everybody.
I'm just guessing.
Eggs.
Now, I want to remind everybody we have the tip of the day coming up, which is good. And I'm going to tell you why the tip of the day is good, because I got an email this morning regarding, it was actually a tip for me, the Qingyuan Hung burn gel that we discussed a while back. Did you get your burn gel? Did you order it?
No.
Well, you might want to. Listen to this.
Why? What, they're going to take it off the market?
No, just listen to this from Natalie. A while ago, you recommended Qingyuan Hung burn gel. I bought a tube and stuck it in the kitchen cabinet a few months ago. I heard a scream in the hallway this evening and ran out to find that my three-year-old had used a chair to get on the counter and grab my scalding cup of tea and spilled it all over her arms. I quickly put her arms under cold water and ran downstairs to get the burn gel. I slathered it all over the affected areas and she immediately stopped crying. Her arms are still red, but she shows no signs of discomfort. Thank you for your wonderful tip of the day. I hope I never have to use the burn gel again, but I feel better knowing it's at hand should another emergency arise. From Mother Natalie. There you go. How about that? Isn't that beautiful?
Well, it's definitely entertaining.
Goodness gracious. Okay.
Goodness gracious? Is that what you actually use that phrase?
I'm bringing it back. Goodness gracious. I'm bringing it back. I'm making it hip again.
You're going to make goodness gracious hip?
That's right. I can do it. I can do it. All the kids are going to be doing goodness gracious. While everyone's dropping F-bombs, I'll just do goodness gracious. My mom used to say that.
Since you read something, I'm going to read. This got nothing to do with tip of the day. This is a bonus.
Okay.
This is a note from one of our producers that's down in the volunteer in the fire area. I call him Anonymous AJ. Hey, and this, by the way, if you're anybody out there is a reporter or works for one of the newspapers, you should. This is a story you can do. I'm probably going to pass it on to a local news outlet because it needs to be looked into. Hey, John, I thought I'd send over a boots on the ground report from yesterday when I volunteered to help with fire relief with an organization called LA Family Housing. The experience started out fine. We sorted donated packages from Amazon into different piles for donations, including medical supplies, first aid kits, clothing, etc. All seemed great until we ended this task and began packing what was billed as a harm reduction kit.
Mm.
This meant creating bagged kits, which included, among other things, this is our California taxpayer money at work. This is scandalous, by the way. Among other things, a clean meth pipe.
Oh, no.
Tourniquet, fentanyl testing kit, tin foil, alcohol prep pads, and other necessary supplies needed to get your fix. Case workers were apparently give these kits out to those in need. An incredible use of donation dollars, don't you think?
Wow.
Needless to say, this was beautifully done switcheroo, which ended with me packing 143 harm reduction kits and quote unquote proud of it. I even questioned what was going on, but was given a stern response by the N95 mask wearing female volunteer next to me.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Rather than cause trouble, I kept my mouth shut and just left early. Perhaps a good explanation of why we do this, but I'm at a loss. There might be a good explanation, but I'm at a loss and certainly feel like there's a big failure going on here. He sent a video showing the pipe, and it was a very short video.
Was it a glass one from Texas Hot Glass?
It was a glass one. I don't know where it was from. It looked more commercial than a hand-blown.
No.
And so this is our boots on the ground. This is what's going on in Democrat-controlled California.
Lovely, lovely. But stay there. Keep living there. It's all good.
Oh, it's great.
Yes.
It's 65 today. What's your temperature there?
Our current temperature is 50 degrees on Main Street in Fred.
No, that's not bad.
No, it's not bad, considering Louisiana got record-breaking snowfall for climate change. But don't worry, 2025.
Climate change.
I guarantee you 2025 will be, once again, the hottest
year. Oh, the hottest year ever.
Yep, it'll happen. We're going to thank the rest of our producers who supported us with treasure of our time, talent, and treasure of value-for-value system, $50 and above. John will take us through it.
Yeah, we got a few people here. Starting with the Brand family in Placerville, $150. Sean Homan in Noblesville, Indiana, 148.48. It's a switcheroo for my wife. We love our Too Many Eggs cookbook. Visit TooManyEggs.com and pick yours up today. Well, you're in the internet. Also visit StealthArms.net.
Oh,
and design
yes.
And customize your very own 1911. Oh, yes. It takes double stack Glock magazines.
I picked it up.
You got one?
My platypus, yes. It's basically a 1911. I've always liked the 1911, so it's perfectly balanced, and it has this wild color scheme that looks like the Miami Dolphins. I had to pick it up at the Ace Hardware because they're the licensed firearms dealer. The whole store is like, "What is that thing? Oh, that's cool. Can I hold it? I'd love to shoot it." Yeah, it was quite interesting. The Platypus Stealth Arms. I'd never heard of this company before.
Well, they cool. listen to us.
They do.
And they're in Noblesville, Indiana.
And I'm reliably informed John wants a platypus now.
I've heard that.
Yes.
Keith Hubbard in Plymouth, Minnesota, 12433. Christy in Vestavia Hills, Alabama, 12433. Joshua Stanfield in Moreno Valley. These are all the inauguration donations.
Yes.
Joshua, I'm just going to name and location until I'm done with them. It's Joshua Stanfield in Moreno Valley, California. Anonymous cop in Redwood City, California. Good for him.
Well done.
And let us know what you think about the pardons. Eric Hulse in Katy, Texas. William Durkin in Greenville, South Carolina. Taylor Rivera in Rockford, Illinois. And that's it. Crapped out. That's the end of it. By the way, and William Durkin wants some Lexus karma.
For his 2006 GS300, it suddenly started to have a hard downshift from second to first.
Yeah, go take it to the dealer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a baby at 130K. They go to 300,000 miles, so something is amiss.
Something's up.
I take it in.
Solder your joints.
Take it to the dealer. It's going to cost you a grand.
Yes.
Taylor Rivera was the last on the list. Whitney, 11692. And she has a long note to take a quick look at. She's a professional copywriter in the tech field.
Hmm.
And aware of the AI revolution. I wrote a ebook about how, as much as I love Claude and ChatGPT, the fancy talking thesauruses are not going to take our jobs. I agree.
I agree
yet.
Too.
Yeah. Yet. P.S. I hate it when you two fight.
We never fight.
You know, the funny thing is, people bitch and moan about us fighting, but technically it's good radio.
It's great radio.
Yeah, you're yakking at the other guys. An asshole.
Also lovey-dovey. Who wants that?
Oh, disgusting. Ian Field, $100. Brendan F. in Tokyo. He needs a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
He came in with $100. Also, Brian Lillard in Prosper, Texas, 8888. Kevin McLaughlin, the Archduke of Luna, lover of American boobs, 8008. Sir Rick in Arlington, Washington, 6996. And this is a switcheroo for Dame Becky.
Nice.
Dame Becky. Christopher Witzel in Spirit Lake, Idaho, 6331.
And he needs a de-douching?
You've been de-douched.
Thanks for the Audible download tip.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You know, Mimi went right to that and immediately she herself.
Yes. Lots of people are doing this now.
Move your books.
We're responsible for theft. It's good.
I don't know. It's not. Is it theft?
I agree. The EULA would say it's theft.
I don't think it's theft.
I don't either.
You bought that book to listen to it, and what, you have to stay with for life, for the rest of your life? You got to stay with a subscription? This is a software as a service taken to the extreme? Forget it.
If only we could do that with a No Agenda bundle for life.
The bundle.
For life.
Matthew Elwart, Weatherford, Texas, 6006. Michael Ragusa in Tustin, California. 5555. Joseph Waltzer in El Paso, Texas, 5430. Adam's Costco rant was so on point.
He sent an extra $1.50 as a refund for my disappointing hot dog combo. Nice.
I found that word. Take it from here while I hang up the phone. I guess I left it on the hook.
Yes. He also says, shout out to my niece Charlotte and tell her, I'll see you at Top Golf. All right. Saumitra Saravana, Fredericksburg, Virginia, with 5272. I presume that's going to be 50 with fees. James Isaac, Wichita, Kansas, 50 with fees. Josh Murakosis, Moroskus, there you go. Moroskus, Blairsville, Georgia. It's not easy what you do.
I'll take it. Okay. Janice, I already screwed up right away. Oh, and by the way, the phone call is one of those. Oh, you know, you can get a discount on your gas bill.
Oh, great.
Press one. I always press one and hang up.
Yeah, very good.
Janet Kostrevsky in New Albany, Ohio. And it's a birthday call, and she says, sending you guys.
You guys. 50
for my 50th.
Nice.
That's nice. Baron Henry in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. Bob Newell in Penfield, Pennsylvania. And Baron Henry was 52-42, and we have Bob Newell 52-40. I don't know how these don't add
that's
up.
It's 50 plus, you know, this plus variable fees for some
variable
reason.
Variable fees. Forrest Martin, 5005. Andrew Benz, our buddy in Imperial, Missouri, 50-05. Anonymous in Plantsville, Connecticut, 50-04. This was a 47-45 donation for Troy. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
The 47.45 donation plus fees.
Thank you. People are so nice sending us the fees. It just messes up the numerology, but it is appreciated. Put it in the note what your original number was.
Ah, good idea. Sir H. In San Francisco, California.
Yes, he sent me a separate note. I do want to read this. He says, I need your help. This is for all in No Agenda Nation. Listen up. Our human resource number 4 is on her way, but she's still in breach position. Same thing happened for other human resources and caused lots of issues. It's a pain in the butt. Not just the butt. We tried different exercises, Chinese moxa things, etc., but nothing worked. I've added $50 on top of my monthly donation. I hope you could send me some baby flipping karma. Thank you for the great show, Sir H. Hunter of Wild Mushrooms in San Francisco. Yes, well, I have the baby making karma, but it's the baby birth karma, baby flipping karma. I've prayed for you as well. That we need to flip that baby, everybody. Let's flip it. Flip the kid.
You going to give him baby-making karma?
I'll do it at the end.
Michael Sikora in New Richmond, Wisconsin, 50. These are all $50 donors from here on out. Alex Delgado in Aptos, California. Scott Riley in Meridian, Idaho. Rachel Ribby in Oklahoma City. She's also, my husband is dedicated to being a douchebag as he's listening to your show. I de-douched him last year for his 30th birthday, but he's still emitting signs of douchebaggery.
Oh, no.
Therefore, I am making it a tradition to donate on his behalf each year for his birthday until he's no longer a douchebag.
Wow.
Okay, well, what are you going to do? Yeah. Sir Greg in Newport, North Carolina wraps us up with the 50s, and that's the end of our group of producers and well-wishers that made show. I don't know. It was 1732 a reality.
Right. That's right. And thank you again to our executive and associate executive producers who supported us bigly today. We appreciate that. Those credits are yours for good. NoAgendaDonations.com is where you can support the show. We have no bundles, no plus packages, no subscriptions, no firewalls, no ads. We're just here and we serve at your pleasure. NoAgendaDonations.com. Here is the baby flipping and making karma.
You've got... karma.
Let us know how it goes, Sir H. NoAgendaDonations.com. Rachel Ribby wishes her husband Andrew a very happy birthday. He turned 31 on January 10th. Sir Scott the Jew wishes Chris Campbell a happy one, turned 45 yesterday. Big Boss Rob Jordan, happy birthday to his wife Rebecca Ann Skeel Jordan. Her birthday is today. David Kekta, one of our end of show mixers today. He says happy birthday to his friend Tammy Osborne. She's 40-something, doesn't really matter. Dame Jessica wishes her amazing husband Sir Bad Potato a happy birthday. He celebrates 45 years today. Janet Kostrevsky turns 50 today. Baronet Bill, Baronet Birthday Boy Bill celebrates tomorrow. Baronet Birthday Boy Bill wishes his twin sister Beth a happy birthday for tomorrow. And Baronet Birthday Boy Bill wishes his nephew Patrick a happy birthday, also celebrating tomorrow. It's amazing. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. And we do have one nighting to take care of, so if you will grab your blade, we can get that all set and good.
Here you go.
Well, take it out. Oh.
There it is.
Angel of Smyrna, step on up, sir. You are about to become a knight of the No Agenda Roundtable. Thanks for your support. The best podcast in the universe and about $1,000 or more today. Exactly $1,000. So I am proud to pronounce the KD as Sir Angel of Smyrna. And for you, we've got Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys and Chardonnay. We've got the Prostitutes and Cigars straight from Davos. Along with that, Harlots and Haldol, Redheads and Rise, Beers and Blunts, Cowgirls and Coffin Varnish, Rubenesque Women and Rosé, Seis, Geishas and Sake, Vodka, Vanilla, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Sparkling Cider and Escorts, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum. And as always, we have for you the mutton and the mead on deck right here at the round table. You, good sir, with your freshly knighted status, can go to noagendarings.com. Anybody can go there. It's completely legal in all states. And you can take a look at that handsome No Agenda ring for the knights and for the dames. Well, give us your ring size. There's a ring sizing guide on that website, and we will send it off to you along with the wax, which you can use this signet ring to seal your important correspondence. And as always, the certificate of authenticity.
No Agenda.
That's right. It's like a party. No Agenda Meetups. These are producer organized. You can find all the information at noagendameetups.com. This is where you find the connection that will give you protection. All of the people you meet at a No Agenda Meetup are your first responders. Remember to have an attitude of gratitude when you go, especially for the host and for your servers. And we have a report from the 3 Mile Island Meetup.
Only Bear Dutch in a theater, No Agenda Nation. Since 3 Mile Island is firing back up, so is another Evac Zone Meetup. Each citizen who attends will receive a special No Agenda fortune cookie. Will your destiny to be to adopt a goat or perhaps befriend a shape-shifting Jew?
I'll leave a cookie now.
I think it's a promo. And maybe this Fort Wayne, Indiana is also a promo? What is this?
Adam and John, this is Shannon hosting from Fort Wayne. Everyone in attendance is 30%, 33% happier than when they started. Eat more kale, and I'm going to shave my hairy legs.
Hi, this is Dan. Had a good time. Hey, this is your narcissistic YouTuber, Cool Hacks with a K. Like and subscribe.
Shelly from Fort Wayne, another good meetup. Thank you for your courage.
Marching for Life, I'm Jonathan.
I'm David.
You know where to find us.
Or you wouldn't be here.
Should have played them in the other order. Thank you very much for the report. We do have a meetup taking place this coming Saturday at Arcade. It'll be the Arcade Party in Fredericksburg. That's Fredericksburg, Virginia at the Reclaim Arcade. Also on Saturday, the No Cheesecake Tokyo New Year meetup. Ah, yes, this is Sir Mark, Dame Astrid. That'll be at 7:30 Japan Standard Time at 10 Cups. 10 Cups in Tokyo, Japan. And then our next show day, Sunday, the PSYOP seasonal meetup, 2 o'clock at Toby's Bar and Grill in Toronto, Ontario, Scandinavia. The Cow Peak No Agenda meetup of the Black Hills, 3 o'clock at Crow Peak Brewing in Spearfish, South Dakota. And then we have the TMI, just heard it, Evac Zone Fortune Cookie meetup, 3:30 in Evergreen Brewing, Camp Hill, Pennsylvania. Definitely check those out. And go to noagendameetups.com to find all of the meetups available in your area. If you can't find one on the calendar, start one yourself. It's easy and always a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. You wanna be where you want me, triggered on hell's flame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same.
La, 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 ba, ba, dum.
It's like a party.
It's like a party. It's like a party, baby. It's like a party. I had so much to do today looking through the executive orders. I only have one ISO. I don't think it's probably going to win, but... I will roll it out anyway for you. Here's my ISO.
And all the fact checkers died.
That's all I got. Did I lose you? Hello? Hello?
Yeah.
What happened?
I got kicked off of
Clean Feed,
and then it said this link is being used by someone else.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Is anyone else there? Anyone else on?
And then it said, take over.
And you took over?
Yeah.
You've got power. Did you hear my ISO?
I did not hear the ISO.
And all the fact checkers died.
That's all I have for today.
Okay, well, I got a bunch.
Okay,
good. I like that one, but it's not...
It's not the best? Okay.
I think I can beat it.
All right.
Let's start with two guys.
Two guys.
No, wait, no, that's probably wrong.
That's okay. What are we starting with then?
I'm looking for my list.
No, it says two guys is here. I've got two guys.
Oh, okay, then I got the right list. Okay, two guys.
These two guys are so cute.
Okay, well, I'm liking that one. I'm liking it.
Sums up.
And that sums up this week.
Two guys is cuter. Yeah.
Hard.
Podcasting is hard. Real hard.
It's true. People have no idea what we do for the show. They have no idea. All right. What's your last one?
Cinderella.
If the shoe fits, wear it, Cinderella.
I think it's between
podcasting is hard, real hard.
And
these two guys are so cute.
Oh, man. I don't know which one to choose, John. I kind of like both of them. What? No, we cannot do a combo.
No, we can't. I would say
Sophie's Choice.
I would say, why don't we use one this show and one on Sunday?
Well, I'll use this one now.
Podcasting is hard, real hard.
I think we'll use that one because it is. It's real hard. And you have no idea how hard it is, especially when it comes to John's tip of the day.
Great advice for you and me. Just a tip with JCB. And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
Yeah. Okay. So the tip of the day is a website.
Oh.
An interesting one, I have to say, because it could come in quite handy for anyone who's cheap computing on a budget, Linux even.
Oh.
It's called, the website is the following, Alternate 2.
Number 2?
I'm sorry. Alternative 2. Alternative2.net.
I got to take a look at this.
Alternative2.net. And for example, in this case, you're going to open it up, type in, and it gives you all the alternative softwares available out there that to whatever you want. For example, type in Microsoft Word.
Alternative what? Alternative, give me the URL again.
Alternative 2, all one word.
T-W-O or T-O-O?
T-O.
Oh, 2.net. Oh.
So type in Microsoft Word.
Microsoft Word. Yep.
And it'll give you a list of all the alternatives to Microsoft Word that are out there with a little reviews and some discussion, including a bunch of them I'd never heard of.
Yeah, like Language Tool and Quigga. Quigga.
A bunch of weird ones.
Quigga.
But you can do this. You put Photoshop in there. You can put anything that you want, but you don't want to buy.
So it's for cheap people.
Yeah. Well, that should be everybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
It's actually quite of an interesting site. One of our producers, Zach, sent it to me and reminded me that I got to fix my personal portal so it's got more stuff like this on it.
You have a personal portal?
Yeah, dvorak.org/NA. home.htm.
There it is, everybody. Two tips in one today.
Great advice for you and me.
HTM.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
And you're complaining about my goodness gracious, Mr. .htm? Really? I don't think so. Oh, boy. All right, everybody, that concludes our broadcast day. We are happy to provide this service to you. We love it when you support us with the value for value. That's all we ask. If you get something out of the show, hit us up. Time, talent, or treasure, noagendadonations.com. Coming up next in the Troll Room on No Agenda Stream and your modern podcast. That's what we were talking about them earlier, the Grimerica Boys. They're talking about near-death experiences and ancient civilizations. Who would want to miss that? I don't think so. End of show mixes, quite spectacular. Some oldies in there and a brand new one. Brian Longenecker. We have Sir David Kekta. And also in there is, who am I thinking of? John Esther. There we go. Coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country right here in Fredericksburg. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we're going to bring back the term fiddlesticks. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday right here on No Agenda. Remember us at noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey, and such.
Crazy.
I'm easy. He's stupid. He's a punk. He's a dog. He's a pig. He's a con. A bullshit artist. A mutt. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Pig, 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 punk, con. I'm stupid. He's a punk. I'm a mutt.
a mutt who doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face. He's a national disaster. He's an embarrassment to this country. It makes me so angry that this country has gotten to this point, that this fool, this bozo, has wound up where he has. He talks how he wants to punch people in the face. Well, I'd like to punch him in the face.
All right, first, deep breath. This was a big day.
You had been watching perhaps one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president that I've ever seen.
It was probably the low point of the presidency.
Wow, it's disgusting.
President Trump is not on America's team.
It was nothing short of treasonous.
Donald Trump betrayed America.
We have a president who is betraying us.
He was like a scared child.
The way he cowered.
Trump was pretty nervous. Most people are nervous when meeting their boss.
He embraced him. He validated him.
While trashing his own country
and gave the middle finger to America,
embarrassing the country.
The single most embarrassing performance that I've ever seen.
The United States was attacked, and President Trump today sided with the enemy.
It is disgraceful, refusing to side with his own country. His own country.
You should call this the surrender summit.
This is evidence of collusion.
What we saw yesterday was collusion.
And he's basically saying, I'm with Vlad.
Why he did so, I can't really get into that. I'm not a doctor.
Trump was so impotent, it's no wonder he leaves the Russian summit with one ball.
It's a nice gift, although I think Putin still has a set of Trump's balls.
It was time for Trump to put his foot down, and he did, right on America's dick.
Sorry, it's not funny.
This is the Chinese.
Why did you say that? You didn't have to say that. What's your point of saying that? Are you insinuating something? Are you suggesting something? Just watch this. You go for it. He can't say it. He can't say it.
We're all gonna die.
Meanwhile, the world.
If you can get a hold of any sort of public works or DWP, our folks are starting to report that they're running out of water and hydrant systems.
Pledge made by GoCo.
With us losing our water up here, is there any way we can get a bunch of water tenants through the city? And we can gang them up on the industry area up in the Palisades, and we can set up a portable hydrant system. So our folks are going to have a shorter turnaround time.
Will hold a benefit concert for LA Fire. Comes the event called Fire Aid.
Fire Aid.
Staged on January 30th in two venues. Some of the performers will include Lady Gaga, Jelly Roll, Billie Eilish, and Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Nothing like some Red Hot Chili Peppers in your Fire Aid, huh? Yeah, perfect. Blaster Aid.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Podcasting is hard, real hard.